You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarian.
I'm sorry.
What happened?
I didn't do anything.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a friendship ring. Sorry.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Here, I'll accept your friendship ring. Okay.
Second
Thank
hand
you.
Friendship ring.
There.
Yeah. So, trust me. Somebody's getting the.
Can you blame me? I got hit in the face with that putty after the show last week.
Welcome to We Are Libertarian.
Listen, Do you want to read the open?
Sure.
All right. Okay. Here we go.
Am I allowed to?
Yeah, of course you can. Oh, we can only go up from here. Here we go. All right, everybody be quiet.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Kat Anagnos. We Are Libertarians brings you all the irreverence modern politics deserves. Think of us as the love child of National Review and Mad Magazine. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. Please be sure to rate us and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. If you are new to the program, we catch up for the first 20 minutes or so, and then dive deep into analyzing current events and society from a libertarian perspective. This show is for adults by semi-adults, so please be warned, the language is strong and offensive. Boom.
All right, well, now you got to transition. You got to transition. Introduce us.
Hello, everyone. It is I, Kat Anagnos. With me is dear leader, Chris Bangle. How are you?
Kat, how are you doing? You did very well on the introduction.
For those listening at home and watching us on our Facebook stream, that was my final exam for my internship.
Yep.
Did I pass?
Well, in my mind, you passed, but it's not up to me. It's up to Greg.
I thought you did an excellent job, yeah. You're very professional.
With us also is Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you?
Catherine, how are you?
I'm great. Gregory?
Good. It's good to see you again. This
Thank
is wonderful.
You.
I'm enjoying all this.
Great. All right.
And also with us is...
Tad Western.
That's me. Hi, Kat.
Enemy.
How are you?
Spangle? I'm doing well.
Lenz?
I am in the vicinity of my archenemy, but other than that...
Archenemy? You just told me you had a crush on me 5 minutes ago.
No. I said I wanted to go to Red Robin with you. That was a difference.
Red Robin? Okay.
Is it the unlimited prize?
Yeah.
No.
Bottomless fries? Of course.
Onion ring tower?
Of course.
Listen, for a Muncie Six, bottomless fries. That is a date.
Key to a girl's heart.
Yes.
What was that Muncie descriptor you said?
Muncie Six.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Indianapolis 2, Muncie 6.
Right.
Elkhart 4.
It's like a -8 in California.
I hate inflation.
So yes, we thank Kat for reading the introduction.
Yes,
and
well done.
She can read. She actually on the
that's it.
On the Ball State's doing well. She can read. She actually did a Cersei voice on the big show on the day job, and it was excellent. Like if you go if you go to the Bob and Tom Facebook page on August 2nd and watch the video of the Game of Thrones with Kermit. And you can hear her doing a Cersei. Give us a little taste of your British accent.
Well, which region?
Just,
I know
like,
all
of
them.
Well, just read kind of the lines of what you said.
Oh,
Derby.
Said like, "Silence, you slimy toad. I don't care how old you are. I'm Queen Sissy, and where are my dragons? I guess that's Daenerys, but
yeah.
Still.
So you'll have to go. You'll have to go watch it. Yeah.
It's Game of Thrones.
I thought it was Harry Potter.
Greggy. Well, of course I know Harry Potter as well. But back to you,
Harry Potter. Kat has become a controversial figure in We Are Libertarians this week.
Has she? I haven't noticed.
Mm-hmm.
She's her personality blossomed this week, and everything that Chloe warned me about, I've seen full board this week. It's you've been on a tear this week.
Listen, it's my last week at the day job. It's my last full week of We Are Libertarians.
Right.
So I before going back to
full
school,
week.
Full week.
So I, you know,
us slave drivers in our 3 hours once a week.
Right.
Well, or now, you can just spout your opinions without preparation.
Now that I'm not in the basement sweatshop.
Soccer balls aren't cheap.
You're
not
going to target.
Not going to weave themselves.
Massimo brand.
Yes,
aren't.
She's come out of her shell,
mm-hmm.
and I think Greg nailed it all along. Can you go back in your shell?
Can I? Oh no, no.
Oh,
no.
All right.
I'm like a snake. I skin my shed, my shed my skin, and then I can never crawl back into it.
What
sign up for a metaphor class.
No, I think we've all grown to love Kat over the last 3 months. I'm
thank you.
Everything is positive about you being on the show, and
yes.
you've done great.
Well, thank you for letting me on. This has been a blast. The best summer I've
Are
ever
you
had.
Leaving?
No, not at all.
No, oh. She's just some.
Damn it!
It's a closing note of the first act, which is the summer.
Yes,
and she's just reminiscing a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's been great. I first came here as an intern. I knew
Rapid
nothing.
Ascent.
Right, right. I didn't know anything about audio broadcasting, and
right.
Now I'm here and I've learned everything. And this week I've really taken as my final exam. So I got to read the intro. You know, I started. Trying to troll by myself. It's been
you
great.
Did. You definitely took the training wheels off on the whole trolling yesterday.
Summer of 2017.
We'll get
the
to
incident.
That. So yeah, at work she's just fully blossomed. It's finally nice to see you blossom.
Thank you. I've been waiting 20 long years.
Yeah. So if everybody could write on her Facebook wall, congratulations for blossoming.
No. That is okay.
Our little caterpillar's finally blossomed to a butterfly.
I'm a butterfly.
So here's the problem, okay? She has blossomed and she is a troll, and we'll get to that. But the problem is she still has glass jimmies, Greg.
She does.
Yeah.
She does. And that's the thing, though.
Don't write on my wall. I'm scared.
I've never talked about
that. She's very into brand management.
Right.
Very into brand management.
Which is not, we don't do that.
Well, you know, you don't. Be libertarian.
I don't know about you
brands.
Guys, but protecting my brand.
Yeah, that's
really, you're going to talk about my brand? Tad is wearing his own shirt.
It's an emoji.
Damn right I am. That's my emoji.
That
too.
Is probably copyrighted.
If you go,
no, it's not. I made it. Well, I mean, yes, it is copyrighted by me.
If you go to the YouTube page, check out the Tad Western T-shirt that he's wearing. But
it's available for sale.
Yeah, pre-orders are now going on tadwestern.com.
Send all
and
money
premium toothpicks.
Yeah, I got Tad's terrific toothpicks. Matter of fact, I forgot. I left those in my car. Oh, and I'm getting ready to sell my...
I grew my beard out.
So Tad just took off his hat and something...
I got custom beard brushes that I'm getting ready to come out with.
So
people.
He was hiding that brush in his hat.
Abraham,
no,
Lincoln
I walk
kept
around
the
with
speeches
it.
In his top hat.
I walk around with it
really?
All day long. That's why I wear a hat.
You've had a brush in your hat for an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's...
Longer than that. I had it when I was a... Eating dinner. Or
where else do you keep a brush?
I mean, was you never like know when your beard's going to get
all a big ruse. Or like, did you?
Can you show me the other side of that brush?
Some people care about grooming.
That is a dog grooming brush.
No, it actually isn't. You want to know long good story here? I went to go get a beard brush, and they were like outrageously expensive.
Uh-huh.
So what I do?
Went
I walk around Meijer for a little bit. I walk. I did. I actually went to go buy a dog one, but they were too coarse, and I was like, I'm not trying to. I got sensitive skin.
Right.
And I'm not trying to rip out my facial hair and walk around looking like Scarface or something, you know, or Freddy Krueger. No. I was like, oh, wait a minute. You got to brush baby's hair. So I go to the baby section.
It's a baby brush?
It's a baby brush. That's, and it came with a comb.
That's smart, honestly.
And no, guess how
really,
much it was?
That's very
how
resourceful.
Much? $3.
Boom. Nice.
How much are you reselling them for after you touched them?
25. Tad, you can get Tad EmojiCon. I've got custom green ones coming with the EmojiCon.
Is the beard hair still in it when you ship
oh,
it
yeah.
Out?
Those will be going for about 50, 55.
I was
going
to say.
Those will be auctioned.
Yeah.
You can find out more on Tad Talk. Look for it at iTunes or WeAreLibertarians.com.
Hugely popular.
The second most popular show on We Are Libertarians is Tad Talk. Over 1,000 listeners
every
in America, but...
Every week.
1.2 million in Ankara, Turkey specifically.
Exactly.
I've got to apologize, actually, to all my fans because I took a little bit of time off, and I know they weren't getting their Tatterall, and they need their weekly doses. And I don't know how many phone calls I had to, like, just end because people were, like, yelling, "Dad, why aren't you doing a podcast? I'm freaking out over here. I'm having withdrawals." And I was like, damn.
Yeah.
So I had to build a studio. I built a studio in my house.
It looks great, too.
I know, and I'm doing video podcasts now, which I don't really like. I don't know. It just takes a long time.
It is.
It's a lot of effort. I'm a one-man show.
And you have Kona, who's very rambunctious.
That mother effort.
Seriously. Wonderful, sweet dog, but very rambunctious.
I have like six episodes of We Are Libertarians that I have to go edit and segment out. And it's
just audio? Or you
just
doing
the
video? Yeah, the video, man.
I don't want to hear it because we had an intern, and now we don't.
I know.
That could have been done by our intern.
I could have done real work for the show when I was an intern, but instead I filled up water bottles.
Instead you promoted yourself.
Right.
Right. Oh, follow me on.
Quite the rapid ascent.
Mm-hmm. No, we enjoy you being here, but
definitely.
You are just, you're a shit. You're a little shit. You're a little sister. I can tell you're a little sister. You did what to me yesterday?
Wet Willy?
No.
No. Dude, get away.
He was wearing headphones.
You're wearing
I almost
headphones,
got him.
Yeah.
No, yesterday I, you know, taking my final exam, reading the intro, doing some other things. So I was like, filled up my last water bottle today. It was great. And, you know, I just thought, okay, this is it. This is where I take everything that I've learned from Sensei Spangle and Sensei Greg Lenz. Let's put it to the test. So at the day job, dear leader got up to relieve himself because he drank, you know, so many water bottles that I filled up for him.
Aggressively hydrated.
Right.
Don't you sense a little bit of...
I think she's jealous of your hydration.
No, I am. Look at his skin.
There's just
baby soft.
It's privilege.
Little bit of sharpness to. And he's filling up water bottles. Don't you think so, Greg?
That's what's that like. So we're at the end of the theoretical summer probationary period,
right?
And so once you remove the threat, people tend to act out, and that's why we need government all the time.
I guess
the intermittent. They need the threat of force at all times to keep people in line.
Right, right.
So there's just a little bit of an latent anger at me, I think, and it came out in a spectacular fashion yesterday.
So, as I said, dear leader got up, and I had about 2 minutes, because he's a very fast peer, to...
Never wash my hands.
To finish my final exam. So what I did was I got onto his desktop computer, and which he leaves unlocked, and I typed. Thank God that I was the fastest typer at my high school, 160 words per minute. Or
she
something.
Does
damn.
Type really
no, something
fast.
Crazy.
That's insane.
So I typed out a long, sappy post about after many failed relationships and changed jobs, I am now coming out as bisexual. I hope you all can support me. Thank you, and God bless.
See, this is a sign to be brave as well.
And
or something
is,
along
I,
that line.
Like,
100 comments and 74 likes so far.
And then I just sat and waited.
And one family member that asked if you were actually bi.
I had 10 people message me and ask if it was true. So I posted a photo, and you can follow me. This is all public. You can go
well played, Catherine.
To We Are Libertarians.
Yeah,
WeAreLibertarians.com, and you can follow my personal page there. And I just responded with a photo that she had posted. It's kind of a cute photo, but she looks very much like a...
She just mowed.
She just mowed the lawn.
Right.
And I wrote, please pray for Kat and Agnos. She was at softball with the gals, fell and hurt her arm. She drove to the hospital and was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. On her way home, she wrecked her Subaru. Through it all, she still has a positive attitude. She's a true inspiration. Please share and keep the prayer chain going. Only one share, so not enough people are praying. Please get on there and share
but
that.
But there were multiple comments of one like equals one spit, and there were about 50 likes.
Yeah,
and
I put F on there just to pay respect.
Yeah. Thank you, Tad. I appreciate it.
You
kind of look like Corey Haim, or is it Corey Haim, the guy from like Corey and Corey? Remember the Coreys back in the 90s?
Yes.
I thought I looked cute in the picture.
You did.
I don't know.
Now, but...
She looked pretty good for a dude.
That got a lecture from Ma and Agnos.
I was going to say, as soon as I saw the way yesterday was developing, I was like, I want no part of this, because I know where this is headed, and I know what I'm capable of if I get pushed, so I'm just going to tag
push
out.
It to the limit.
Something along the lines of, Grandma saw the fibromyalgia post. She wants to know if everything is okay. Maybe you should tone it down a bit.
I think she probably would have been more concerned about the Subaru and the softball team. No?
Nah.
With
it's 2017, guys.
Yeah.
But I was mostly hurt that she was like, maybe you should dial it back with the podcast. Maybe not come on so much.
Maybe less wall. Maybe more GOP.
She was so excited for you to join so early on. But this has happened with my mom. My mom hates Greg and the podcast.
Aww.
Cyberbullies me, actually.
She does, actually.
She told me that the Catholic Church was a gang and I'd never be able to escape their threat.
Jeremiah Morrill's mom. Jeremiah Morrill's mom is beside herself half the time at everything we post. Aww. Your mom.
My parents know, like, the antics because I fill in my dad of why it's a good strategy for growth.
Right.
And he gets it from that level, but that doesn't mean they want to experience it.
Right. Yeah,
and my mom's like, I don't like vulgarity. No. I miss it.
My
miss
parents
a time
know I'm a shitlord.
I was just having this discussion with my mom the other day, and it's like, I miss a world. What our president? It's just become such a vulgar world. there's no innocence anymore.
Well, your mom's a social worker, so
was yeah. She was a social worker for pregnant girls in urban schools.
Michael Moon wrote on the Facebook live stream. Sweet, I'm in a gang. That's basically what it is. It's like our mothers are worried that we've fallen in with the wrong crowd.
We are the libertarians your party warned you about.
Yes. You are not riding bikes with those kids.
And Kat and I have had this discussion all summer long. There's going to be...
adjustment.
There's going to be... Listen, we all have gone through it. You're going to go through it. Your family and friends, some of them are just not going to get all of this.
Well, my mom really just recommended making two Facebook accounts. So.
Yeah.
Might do that. One for the Lord, one for the shitlord.
Right.
Yeah, for the shitlording.
Yeah, I have one small one for the niece picks because...
That's not true. You have one so you can play Farmville.
That's why I began it. I was playing a military game.
Funniest thing I've ever experienced in my life when it came up as a suggested friend.
I'll have to look it up and I can tell you. Mm. But
World of Clans.
Yeah, Clash of Clans.
But
Social empires.
I have enjoyed Kat's friendship. We've become great friends. I think the world of her, and I'm so glad that we've become close friends over the summer, which is just why I feel so hurt this week that she's been so
catty
towards me. And I just find it, I don't know if there's a problem between us. I don't think so, but...
No.
You just seem like you're a little angry at me. I don't know what it is.
She's becoming a libertarian. The passive aggressiveness is amping up.
Yeah.
It's a natural development.
If I were you, I'd be having her take a hit off those waters she's filling up because she may be, dousing you.
Maybe I'm just feeling sensitive because she's been spiking my drink with Midol.
Yeah. I have been, actually. Yeah. No, what
your
it is.
Nipples are sweating, bro.
What it is, I'm.
You're leaking.
Sorry, I'm
you're
sweating.
Leaking.
My sweaty nipples.
Cat, get leaking. Over there. Tyler, get over there, or Ted, get over there and milk them.
My plan has worked. No. What it is I'm excited.
You ever had really sweaty nipples?
Yeah, I have been. No, I'm excited to go back to school, and I think I'm done learning from you people, and I'm ready to join in.
It is not Tad.
I've not learned enough from Tad yet.
You nailed it because you've just stopped asking any questions this week. That's the change. You're just like, I'm just gonna ride this one out. You're on your senior semester.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm just not gonna be judged by somebody who pees in a cup.
All right, here we go.
Ooh.
Should we get into this, Greg?
Nope.
I think we should talk about this.
I peed in multiple cups. I filled up a 2-liter one time.
Thank you. Here's the thing.
Can we talk about this, Kat?
Like
yes,
two liters.
Yes,
piss.
We can talk about it. So
we're in a group chat. Let me set it up.
Okay.
We're in a group chat. And and
as podcast friends are.
And she as podcast
this
friends
is
are.
Mesmerizing.
And she goes, I had to go to the doctor and then I had to pee in a cup, but I'm an expert at that. And Greg and I are like confused and go, what do you mean by that? She goes, oh, well, I pee in a cup every night in my dorm room.
I actually wasn't. I get this. I don't think it's that outside the norm.
I don't either.
I've never been more...
You were mortified.
I was genuinely disgusted.
Here we go again.
You let two cats urinate in your bathroom in a litter box, and this grossed you out way more.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I keep a spit platoon next to my bed so I can chaw spit and just kind of roll over and pee in it in the middle of the night.
Explain what you do, Kat.
Well, here's the thing. My freshman year, my dorm was on one side and the bathroom, the communal bathroom I may add, was on the way other side.
Oh yeah, keep
so,
going.
So, in the middle of the night, wake up, have to pee, and I didn't want to wake up my roommate, and the door's loud when
consider
you get it, and the lights are bright in the hallway, fluorescents and stuff. So I get out and
I'd peed a little and there was a wet spot and I didn't want to have to have a conversation about it.
I don't want to, have to walk all the way down there and then I don't sleep with a shirt on, so I'd have to put a whole shirt on. Very stressful.
You mean you sleep
topless? Topless. Yeah, so it's a lot of work, So what I would do is I'd just wake up in the middle of the night, just pee in a cup, put the cup under my desk, go back to sleep, and the next morning I'd dump it out in the bathroom.
The only thing that bugs me is that you left it unsealed.
Here's the thing. I would think that it would smell, but it didn't.
That's what everyone thinks.
Right.
No, it really didn't.
You have any homeless people? I have no idea that they smell bad.
All right.
The best part of this story is she wasn't doing it because it was too hard. She didn't want to inconvenience her roommate.
That's the thing. Is this is good? And it's I'm a not nice lying. That's, but she's, no, those doors. She's, swear to God, no, anyone that's lived in a dorm life, it's like a 100-pound door. It hits and it wakes up everyone down the
that's
corridor.
That's the most beta move I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I'm just trying to be content.
You should have woke up and pissed on everybody in the hall
and then knocked on each door.
Or just threw the pee all over.
I'm going pee, everyone.
This is my dorm.
Kat is a very considerate person. Other than when she wipes things on Greg.
Aw, Greggy. I just hugged Greg.
Boogies.
He's so warm.
The nickname Greggy makes me laugh every time she says it.
Oh, my mom called me that, and then Grego, but then one time having a party in my basement in high school, she yelled, Grego, we're homo, to about 40 of my best friends. And my buddies will still to this day, when they see her, say, Marla, we're homo.
Oh, no.
Grego, we're homo.
Like, the idea that you would, how often have you done this? Like, once or twice?
No, I would do it every single night my freshman year. And then sophomore year, before I moved in with one of my current roommates, shout out to you, Katie, I told her before, I said, hey, listen, before we sign our lease or whatever together.
Don't count on getting the security deposit. I need new carpeting.
I have this problem where in the middle of the night.
Problem.
I don't want to wake people up, so I just pee in a cup. And she's like, yeah, I don't care. Dead.
It really, like, I've seen women pee so many different places, like, it doesn't shock me at all.
What the kind thing of cup? But Greg, still, on a boat in the middle of Lake Monroe, where there's
on a boat and like
right.
at a St. Patrick's Day party under a tent downtown on Georgia Street.
I've seen, like, people piss. Like,
maybe
I saw a girl
garage.
Hike it up and go in a urinal with
maybe.
One right leg in the
oh,
air.
Oh yeah, I've peed in
no.
the urinal.
You have?
Yeah, sixth grade. We're in the boys' locker room for
did
something.
Did they make you go based on what was on your ID?
They said
no.
They heard,
wish we had that law then.
They heard your voice and saw the flannel and were like, come on in.
Oh, yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
Locker room talk.
Guys, we got a bass in show choir.
You know what they do in show choir, right?
Oh, a 5, 6, 7, 8, a bop, bop, dee, 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 da, bop, boop, ba, da, bee, da, da, da. Sorry. Anyways.
Tad, what's your thoughts on Scat Cat?
Well, when I first heard about Scat Cat, it was from a meme, and I wasn't sure if it was like the Ella Fitzgerald type of scat or the Danny Thomas scat. I didn't know which type it was.
Danny Thomas was a comedian in the 50s who liked scat play.
Yeah, so I didn't know, and
you
it's
loved
honestly
them.
Both.
And so I was thinking about getting you a litter box. I don't know.
Once we heard about peeing in the bottle and keeping it unsealed.
One at a time, everybody.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, honestly, yeah. Like, basically, I wouldn't be surprised if she just shit in the middle of the floor because she pees in the middle of a room.
Well, a milk jug. It's got a cap.
Right. Exactly. I'm not an animal.
I mean, you are peeing every single night.
I mean, my name is Cat.
You put any litter in it?
No. So anyways, let me finish my story.
So where do you get the cups?
We have disposable cups.
Polar Pop cups, right?
Red Solo.
I do not know what those are.
You don't know what a Polar Pop is?
No,
like
no,
the
no,
big
no.
Styrofoam
Red Solo cup.
Yeah.
Don't know what that is. Anyways, so...
What?
That's a Ball State education. They drink everything out of the mason jars.
So anyways...
Relevant.
That's actually
ball company.
My kitchen is full of ball jars. But anyways, so... Yeah, so I just pee in a cup. My roommate didn't think it's weird. And then, I don't know... It just, you know, I like to be considerate.
Like, how much did you spend on cups?
Well, we just always had cups.
Dude, for beer pong in college, that's like a factored in part of the budget.
I am not 21. That
Flippy
is
cup.
Not.
You have roommates at Arden, don't you?
Well, yeah, one. Katie now.
Now.
Happy, yeah. Happy 21st.
Oh, I'm sorry. Drinking happens on...
Okay, so we get to...
I thought this was a libertarian podcast.
She now lives
My
in
laws.
A, she now lives in a beautiful house.
Yeah, 5-bedroom, 2-bath. Beautiful.
2-bath.
Still pees in a cup.
You are literally around the corner from the bathroom. And what did you tell us?
Okay, here's the other thing. Every bedroom in our beautiful new house has its own, like, sink and vanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's very convenient. So, here's the thing. Every bedroom also has a deadbolt lock. And we're in, you know, Muncie, Indiana.
Necessary.
Like, on campus. Terrified. So, you know, I go to bed. Everyone sleeps with our doors deadbolt lock. And so, you know, I just wake up. And when I have to pee, I just pee in my sink.
How high is it?
Not that high. I'm just about this high of this table.
Like,
I'm not all the
sink
time,
pisser.
But I'm afraid of, you know, going out, like, unlocking my door, going out into the hallway and getting kidnapped.
Well, you have Italian roommates. You
right.
know the Italians.
Right. You, I mean.
Hey, now.
Not to be indelicate, but I've always been taught that girls have to wipe.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Whatever's close.
It's my roommate's t-shirt.
You seem to not have any problem wiping your hands on other people's clothing and using it as a
what
towel.
What you talking about,
yeah,
Greggy?
I'm gonna the lays.
You actually brought something for her, did you not?
I don't have it with me. I had it with me the last time, but we didn't get to do this segment. But I finished a lemon lime Gatorade bottle, 32 ounce, and was going to gift it to you.
You should have.
Very thoughtful. I'll give it to you. I got to sign it now. I mean, it's got the cap too, and I'd like you to, you know,
was it a wide mouth?
Get weird. See if the cap, you know, if you want to keep it capped.
Oh, I've used caps before. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
I have. I have a very powerful stream. I don't know about you fellas. How does this not splash everywhere, Kat?
It does. It's just piss.
Practice makes perfect is how you get to Carnegie Hall.
Exactly.
It does. It's just piss.
No, practice this makes is, perfect. I can, okay, I'm not even kidding, and I will do this sometime for you guys. Well, maybe not. But all right. I can.
Get up on the table.
No. I can pee.
Two walls, one cup.
No.
This is where we go to pay.
I can pee in a water bottle. I'm not even kidding.
That's really impressive.
No,
like
no
a small drinks. 20 ounce?
Yeah.
Aquafina like or Dasani?
No, like an ice mountain.
Wow.
I swear to God, I can.
The 12, like the small 12 ounce?
Yeah. Okay, wait, this one?
No. Like the regular one? Yeah, the 99
yeah.
cent one.
Swear to God, I can.
That's literally, because like, I was actually like totally freaking out. Like, oh my God, if she does this laying down.
No, I
this
don't
is, like,
do it
physics,
laying down.
Like, she's somehow got around the laws of physics
she,
to do this.
She's still splashing pee all over her
no.
legs.
No, bro.
Your thighs
no.
are all wet.
Can you back me up here?
Listen.
He thinks that it's like a mess. It's really
it's,
not.
It's
time
disgusting.
Out. It isn't.
This is just so disgusting.
Number one, R. Kelly is so hard right now. Number two, everything I know about women pissing is from that video. And it, I don't know, it's a pretty good stream.
You've never peed in a bottle?
I've never peed in a bottle in my life.
Even on like a youth group trip in
never,
church? Oh my
never.
God, we peed in
you've
like
never...
Dr. Pepper bottles like all the time because
no.
people wouldn't stop.
I live in it is 2017.
It is the current year.
And we have bathrooms and sanitation.
But on like your church trips to like West Virginia to like Whitewater Rapids,
yeah.
like it's...
no, we stopped. I held it until we stopped.
Oh,
like,
that's
like a like an adult.
No, you but... pee in the bottle, and then you throw it at homeless people.
Exactly,
like a civilized human being.
Here's the thing, though. And I'm not just saying this. I really kind of have stopped for the past 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, you've been shamed.
Okay. Yeah, been, it's really hurtful. It's kind of like how, you know, gay people stop being gay when they're shamed.
That's true.
I don't think that's ever happened. So, we shame Seth.
It's not
all
what
the time.
Mike Pence told me.
No, yeah. We're enablers of Seth.
Listen, I want to hear from the listeners. I want you to write us at editor@wearelibertarians.com.
I watched a girl poop in an alley before a wedding in a white dress because she was having what I didn't know were menstrual cycle poops. So I had never heard of this phenomenon. We're doing pictures. She goes into an alley.
Oh shit!
Hits her. Does it? It's her sister's white dress and gives it back to her sister without dry cleaning it.
Oh.
Sat through the ceremony in it.
Hell yeah!
Has there ever been a time? And you better answer this honestly. Has there ever been a time where it went horribly wrong?
Oh yeah, when it first started going off. Like when I first started doing it, like 4 years ago or whatever.
Were you just like I got
to
master
this? No one's a
this,
natural
at
peeing in a cup.
Yeah, like it's, oh no, peeing in a cup has never gone wrong.
Oh, what's
peeing
the,
in a bottle has gone wrong.
Oh, in a bottle
because it's like this big.
And so what did
it's,
you do?
And it's environment specific. If it's there, you know, you're in a car and it's
put it down, wiped up the floor, and went back to bed.
Here's the real.
Did
kicker.
You have carpet?
No, it's tile. All
oh,
the dorm
well.
Floors are like. Tile. Or
oh,
something.
Yeah, linoleum.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
They industrial cleansed.
Hold on,
oh,
Ted.
Yeah.
I'm less disgusted knowing it's linoleum because you can bleach it.
And dorm mattresses are all like vinyl covered.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that gross. Here's the thing.
The
I
comforter.
Know it's gross and it's not ideal and yeah, maybe it's not ladylike,
it's not
but thing, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And I would rather not have my entire floor and my roommate hate me for
yeah.
waking them up at
oh,
4
Oh, that's
in the
a real thing.
Day. Because girls are especially more
sure.
worse than guys.
Girl,
it's the girls' room.
It'd be so great. I mean, listen, I know I have to go to the bathroom, but girl, you know I love you.
Oh, like the dorm I lived in, it was a U, and so the girls were over on the right side, the guys were on the left side. But there was a bunch of I got lucky, and it was a bunch of single individual units, and then a dual one for me. And then the girls were set up the same way. Girls that didn't get a bid to any of them, and then... lived in the dorms as a sophomore alone on the right side. If you made any noise, they were the bitchiest.
Oh, yeah.
One, no one accepted them to any of the sororities.
Right, because they were social freaks.
Yeah, they didn't even get into the, you know, DGs. Nothing goes down faster than an anchor.
Oh, no.
And so, like, you know, they didn't. And so you would pee in a bottle. You peed in a water bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Or a Gatorade bottle, usually.
Yeah, it's Gatorade, whatever.
So, here's the thing. Being around Kat, I really have never been exposed to the traditional college experience. But like talking with Kat, it's such a huge part of her life. Mm-hmm. And as we've gotten to know each other, she tells me all so much about college life. Like, I realize kind of what I've missed out on. Like, my college experience was at IUPUI, which is a commuter campus.
It was a commuter campus.
And so I lived in my mom's basement, drove to IUPUI, went to work, came home. You know, we had one dorm, and I hung out there for half a semester. I would go to other places where there were dorms, but, like, I was there for a couple hours. I didn't live.
And if there wasn't parking, you went right the fuck home.
And I went back, and I had the entire basement to myself, and I'm a very, like, my space is a sacred space. I don't want people touching
it. Yeah, all that goes out the window.
All that.
Space is gone.
I never realized, like, how much when you're in college and you live in a dorm or you're in a frat or whatever or a sorority. Oh. Like, how little personal time and personal space you actually have.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're all triggered all the time.
Oh, yeah. You went to USI, and, like, at USI, they had apartments your freshman year, right? No dorms?
Well, technically, I'm still a freshman at USI, but I lived in the apartment. I lived in the apartments with an RA, so I only had one roommate. So I just got blasted the entire time and peed wherever I wanted to.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so I still have a very strong sense of personal space and cleanliness and, like, yeah. The amount of nudity that is just normal for college guys and girls, like, that's really odd to me. Like, it's a totally foreign concept.
Since you didn't have that traditional experience, like, your methodism is very extreme on certain method of things.
Absolutely.
Like, whereas it just is like, oh, nudity's normal, or, like, it's whatever, and you just get used to, like, you know, your roommate standing over you and breathing heavily at night, right. Like Kat's did.
Well, and that's the thing is, I used to be a very, like, private, I need my own space kind of person.
I have a meeting.
Then when I went to school, all that goes out the window.
It does.
It's
painful adjustment period at first.
Oh, yeah. And my roommates, like, I would get back to my dorm or whatever, and one of my friends who didn't live in my dorm would just be, like, laying in my bed. And I'd be like, Jordan, what are you doing? What are you doing, buddy? She's like, I was bored. I'm like,
get out of my bed.
Guess what's on that comforter?
pee.
That isn't mellow yellow in that cup, hun.
And the lack of alone time that you have.
You have
to go to the library.
That is why I am so recharged from hanging out today after the day job. Spangle took a 4-hour nap, and I played Mario Kart all by myself. And then when Greg and Tad got here, they were like, what are you on?
Oh, you're a different person.
Hey, everybody.
Stunning.
How's it going?
Yeah.
How's everybody doing?
You gotta
now
have
I feel like, wow, what you've endured in the summer.
I'm an ENFJ. She's an ENFP. So are you.
Yep.
Tad is
INTJ master race.
Oh.
No, you're not.
Are you really an INTJ?
We usually hate INTJs.
That explains so much, Kat. So Kat and I are highly social, but at the same time, man, I need my downtime to recharge. I read a book called The Highly Sensitive Person by Elaine Aaron. I can't recommend it enough. And it explains, like, how much downtime. This is why you need it. It's so crucial to, like, a successful life is just having, like,
solitude.
Like, I think it was Monday, maybe, that Kat was very edgy. And I go, hey, are you okay? You seem a little edgy. And she goes, I got a lot of sleep last night. I was like, rest isn't sleep. And, like, that's a concept that I've kind of learned over the last year or two.
Oh, it's about quality.
Yeah, where you just need that time just to play Mario Kart
and get weird.
Clear your brain. Yeah, yeah, so good times. We love having Kat, even though
Thank
she
you.
Pees in cups. And so it is.
Which isn't that, it isn't really that weird. As much as I'd love to shame you for it, I really can't.
At least she's house broke.
Right.
No, she isn't.
She quit last 2 weeks.
She's
gotten better.
Yeah, I've actually really done it. I'm pretty much done.
I'm proud of you.
Look at how we've helped personal growth.
Thank you.
I think
changing lives.
Because we're the three best friends. We're the three best friends with Tad.
Now,
Tad, you want to trade? I propose a trade.
You've grown a lot. How has the We Are Libertarians community changed you over the last 3 months?
Well, I'm going to go back to school and probably lose all of my friends because of how offensive I have become.
More offensive than Greg and I, honestly.
We're not going to get into
that. She's in the enthusiastic first early shitlord like era.
It's exactly right. Yeah. Like, you remember the old days of brutalism, Tad, when we were really cranking out the memes
remember,
2 years
Tad?
Ago?
Remember Craigslist, Tad?
Remember the Lauren Spear? Remember Fleshlights?
Oh, yeah. The good old days?
Like,
Well, here's the thing. I still do these memes, but I don't send them to you guys anymore.
She and I were sitting next to each other, trolling each other, cackling and howling all day long. And then, like, we made a meme of Greg, which
was really funny, by the way. Was really funny.
Which is in the We Are Libertarians Facebook group, which you can join if you go to WeAreLibertarians.com.
I made a contribution.
You did, but we couldn't post it.
I don't know why.
We showed it to a couple people at work today, and they go, "What is wrong with these people?" And these are people who are the most offensive people on the planet.
Yeah, that's funny.
So yeah,
comedy doesn't win anymore, and I want to make it win again.
So I'm just looking forward to the day, probably within the next 6 months to a year, when Kat doesn't have glass jimmies. You still, even though you're enjoying being a shitlord, you still have like, oh no, I can't do that. This might happen to me or that might happen to me. And then you're just not fully free yet. And I can't wait till you're fully free because
you may not be. If you go the media route for sure, like all hands on deck, you never are, you can't.
No.
You can't dally in what we dally in.
She's destined for this.
You can, but you just can't have social media.
I am.
No.
And that's half the fun is watching the outrage.
Well, that's the only reason you do it.
I know her better than you guys. I'm telling you, she won't be able to stand herself if she were just quiet. Like, you know what I mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, it means that if you don't have total freedom at some point to say whatever you want to say, you'll go crazy.
That's why I'm starting my own podcast.
Really?
We Are Cat Libertarians. No, I'm
kidding. That's a great name.
We Are Catitarians. Wow.
We Are Catitarians.
Me and my DBA are going to sue you. Oh. Big podcast update before we jump into the topics for this week. I met with a legal person. I met with Tad. I met with my accountant.
My lawyer.
As your attorney, I advise you not to go any further.
Tad Weston, JD, Esquire.
I met with the accountant, got a bunch of things. The amount of things. I didn't know about tax write-offs, Greg.
Yeah, I had been under the impression that even though you hadn't formalized things, you were still, as a sole proprietorship, writing off the majority of the expenses.
No, I just filed my regular W-2 and I've been paying the tax.
1040 easy?
So we're going back and refiling those taxes.
Oh, you should have.
The amount of things that I can write off thanks to this podcast.
You can write off your marriage.
Well, I did.
two ways.
Never collecting on that.
Yeah.
You weren't the only one. That we are.
You made a putty, a rose for Greg.
Oh, I thought it was a dreidel.
Cat.
Oh.
A dreidel.
Listen, you.
So, yeah, all the equipment that I've bought, all the expenses, we're going to write all that off. I signed up with the IRS and the state of Indiana. We Are Libertarians is an official entity. We're a real business now. We're going to I've met with a couple professional marketers and accountants and tax people, so we're going to start doing some big things, and got somebody who's going to help me fund some of that, and obviously you guys are going to help me fund by joining PayPal or Patreon and by becoming a member, which you will be able to do very soon. So look for... We're now going to have the ability to do a lot more on a daily basis. We're not going to do a daily podcast because that's way too much.
Way.
No one likes us that much.
Right. But
we're an acquired taste and we have a short shelf life.
So. Speak for yourself.
If you would go to the website, sign up for the email newsletter list, the dispatch that is up on there. And if you want to help, as I'm kind of building some things out right now and installing software and buying software, it's taking a big chunk of money right now out of my personal pocket. So if you would go to PayPal at WeAreLibertarians.com and make a contribution, $10, $5, $100, whatever you can afford right now, like in the next week or two, that'll really help me get some software that I need to buy to help
several
get
Bitcoin.
the membership stuff ready to go. So, if you love We Are Libertarians, if you would miss us if we were gone, if you would be willing to support us, we'd greatly appreciate that. I do need the help financially to kind of get some things done. You guys have been so gracious in helping us get the equipment that we've needed over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've gotten so many compliments on the studio that you can watch at YouTube and on the live stream. And especially Christy Avery and Jason Doolittle
our angels
have helped. And Phyllis Klosinski have helped us tremendously.
Yes.
But a lot of you just sending in a microphone or sending in an SD card or sending in...
Just watching and support. You know, it's always, yeah, you know, humbling sharing, to think that our time is, you know, that we're even worth listening to just, be honest.
And like if you're watching on the camera, I'll kind of point it out. But like this is a $350 recorder. This is a $25 cord. This is a $30 cord. This is a $150 microphone. This is a $30 stand. That's a $100 microphone. This
is a $75 a week intern.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's an expensive guest.
Yeah. So, and you times that all out by 8 because you've got to have backups and you've got a mobile rig. It's just a lot of equipment, a lot of cost that goes into making We Are Libertarians that you know, we don't I carry a lot of that on my shoulders, and I'm glad that I can do tax write-offs. But everybody who donates, we thank you so much because you've made all this possible, mm-hmm, and getting us to this point. So please sign up for the email newsletter at the website. And also, if you would, be willing to make a cash contribution through PayPal or Patreon, a one-time or a monthly contribution at WeAreLibertarians.com. That would be awesome. And we thank you so much because we're about to start doing more. And that is the goal, is to continue to grow this and do more and more and more. Because you guys have shown over the last 2 or 3 years how much you like We Are Libertarians. You're getting content here and information that you're not getting from the mainstream media. And so we've proven the concept that this can be a viable business. And so I'm taking the ball and I'm running with it. And I am only doing that because you guys have supported us. And you reach out, you send us emails, you message us, you say nice things, you send in equipment through our Amazon wish list at We Are Libertarians. So you guys are just awesome, and I thank you so much for helping us.
Now, are you still accepting nudes as payment too?
I am. I take nudes. I get about once a week I get a nude, but I really could use more nudes, and I don't, not from you, Colin Schaefer. Colin Schaefer keeps trying to
Christy gay... Christy Avery, we're looking at you.
Colin Schaefer keeps trying to gay marry me on Facebook. And so
it's flattering.
Hey, it's not gay marrying anymore. It's just marrying.
And yeah, so, come on.
And so I married his wife on Facebook today.
It's a great cuckening of our time.
The so, ecuckening.com.
So speaking of emails, we're going to hop into Dear Leader is a segment that we have here on the podcast. Where,
Dear Leader.
So where you write us letters at editor@wearelibertarians.com, and we read your emails. Listen, it doesn't have to be politics. This is a political question. It can be life advice. Obviously, we're very successful, very handsome. We are
pretty.
We are funny. We just have a lot of good things going on in our life. You know, some of us are so successful that we created a fake name on a drunken night a year and a half ago and convinced all of their friends to just go with it.
Greg?
Gregory Lenz,
yeah,
the
Timothy.
Other account.
I would have went with something else, more creative.
That's true.
So
it works.
Yes, and somebody on the Facebook asked if we're going to do T-shirts, and that is in the works. I'm looking for a graphic designer, so if you're a graphic designer that really wants to work with me and make awesome, awesome T-shirts, that would be great. Hit me up. So Dear Leader is it can be life advice. If you have personal advice that you need help with.
Dating.
I know a lot of the guys out there are struggling. A lot of the girls out there are struggling to get dates.
If you are single between the ages of 19 to 23 and are interested in a libertarian belle like me, please.
My
parents are so worried.
I never knew your age range, 19 to 23.
I just threw that out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's your. Is
I
that
prefer 14 year olds.
Oh, gross. Stop it now.
Women.
Behave. Women or men?
Men.
Okay.
Preferably.
Well, there's a little equivocation there. Yeah.
No. Actually, just men. But I'm all for new friends. So.
She loves new friends. She's like a golden retriever. All right. So, dear leader, this is from our friend Matt. Dear leader, I love the show, which is the best way to start any email. I live in Cobb County, Georgia.
But
dangerously close to where Bittner's from.
Oh.
I live in Cobb County, Georgia. I just got a call from a young Republican running for a state Senate seat next year. I despise the good old boy network that puts these candidates forward. And for some reason, they always seem to have the same script running harder to the right than the previous candidate. The sad thing is he will probably win. But in this instance, he is 28 and wants to win young voters who are turning Democratic. I think there is an opportunity for libertarian ideas to win the day. So my question for you and perhaps your show, if I only get a few minutes to challenge such a candidate, whether in private or at a public forum, what are the best questions to ask to see if they are open to libertarian ideas or even to persuade them to be libertarian? Are there any resources that you can point me towards? Thanks, Matt. Greg, what do you think?
You ought to start. I mean, you're the one that's had the most experience doing this.
Mine's very contrarian. You.
Is he an individual that is going to consider running as well, or is he simply trying to lead someone down the path to libertarianism the GOP?
I know what you know, but it sounds like he wants to convince his legislator to be more libertarian.
First, one, you'll never convince or tell anyone anything, especially when it comes to political philosophy. Like, no one ever wants to be sold. They just want to buy. And so the only real way to ever change anyone's opinion is to help them flesh out what they believe and what they think. And so rather than telling them what you believe or what's the accepted orthodoxy of libertarianism or when libertarianism is applied, you need to ask him questions in a way that challenge some of his core assumptions he hasn't worked out. Because that's how Abdul challenged your beliefs and how you became a libertarian.
I was a ditto head, and I just said whatever Rush said, and I was like,
gospel.
I don't believe any of this.
Right. You know, like, no one ever thinks it through. It's bumper sticker orthodoxy, really. And so you just need to ask him, get him in a one-on-one scenario, or get him in somewhere where he's away from judgment, in a setting where he's not wearing the politician hat, and ask him what he believes on some foundational issues about the application of force. And have it as a theoretical. Don't make it, you know, separate the two. Set it up. Listen, I admit there are practical issues with believing things a certain way. Like, for instance, this isn't achievable right now. But what do you, in theory, how do you believe? And then sort of plant those seeds of doubt and walk him through the fleshing out process of what he actually believes. And I think if you do it in that manner and you get the opportunity to do it outside judgment being forced on him in a real honest way, you will see that he will arrive at libertarianism almost virtually everyone will by default.
Yeah. Right.
Because at the end of the day, virtually no one supports the use of force unless it's for communists and they're not moral agents. So it's not people. You can throw them at helicopters.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with that.
I would say that here's a contrarian view. Trying to convince someone who is running for office while they are running for office of anything is absolutely impossible.
Right.
Because the nature of running for office is that you have already picked the issues that you are going to run on. You are going to drive those messages as hard as you possibly can. You are going to stick to your script, and you are not going to deviate, because the second you deviate on one phone call, because when you're in a campaign, you are so paranoid. Even in a libertarian campaign, you are so paranoid about everyone and everything that everyone is out to get you that you're
then Trump won.
You don't you call a random person, and yeah, speaking of paranoid, you don't know who you're speaking to. You could be who's recording the phone call. So you're never really going to step outside of your comfort zone, even in a one-on-one setting. If you go and meet with them, maybe, you know, the way to try and shape people's beliefs is by joining a party and getting involved. If you want to know the truth, I think
association.
If you're interested in becoming a Republican, going to the Young Republicans, Young Democrats, joining the Libertarian Party, whatever party you closely identify, get involved in that political party, and you know, go to the social events that are the year and a half before those elections take place, and that is the place to really debate and try to change minds. Because if you are doing anything other than that, if you are trying to do it during a cycle, you're just not, they're not listening to you, because it's a neurological thing too. Because in a campaign, you are so focused on go, 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 that the brain is stuck in that active thinking. And the way that you really can change someone's mind is when they're more relaxed, it's a more passive setting. It's more, their mind is allowed to wander. It is neurologically impossible for you to think creatively and think outside of the box when you are doing tasks, for instance. It's why when you're in the shower or you're driving to work or you're just doing something that is kind of, you know, like you're mowing the lawn, it's just you're taking a walk, and that's when your brain comes up with the most creative ideas that you have. That's because your brain is allowed to, it's out of that gear and into a different place and can kind of think of things. And I don't think, and that's one of the reasons that I decided to start the podcast 5 years ago. I was spending so much time doing
training.
I mean, I was working with the Libertarian Party of Indiana as their executive director for 4 years, and I spent a lot of time training candidates, but we didn't win a lot of converts. I think that the time I went on Chick McGee's podcast, I converted more people to libertarianism than than I did in 4 years. The Bad Christian podcast with Matt Carter. It wasn't The Bad Christian, it was Break It Down. Both of those are great podcasts, by the way. Please support your local podcasts where they are served. And I think those instances and people's minds are changed by We Are Libertarians and these libertarian podcasts because they're mowing the lawn, they're doing the dishes. I listen to podcasts as I'm cleaning or I'm walking to the pool or I'm driving. And so my brain is allowed to kind of soak in some of that information in a less engaged way. So I don't think that you can change a politician's mind,
you shouldn't try.
Once they get elected, it is even more difficult because they have a vested interest in maintaining the things that they said and did when they were elected, and maintaining party strategy and party ideology. And so, really, you've got to get these young Republicans, you've got to get these young Democrats, long before they ever decide to run for office. Because that's when you can really kind of convince them that now you can kind of when there's issues, you can kind of neutralize them a little. So there's a congressman now, Jim Banks, up in the 3rd District of Indiana. He is a fantastic human being. He is a great guy. He was a state senator here in Indiana. He had just been elected and he wanted to meet with the Libertarian Party of Indiana. Came, sat, had a conversation with us about what we were concerned about because, you know, he knew that we were an influential force in Indiana politics. He followed a few of us on Facebook, and he reached out and initiated the meeting and sat and listened to all of what we had to say about 5 or 6 people. And gay marriage was really where we had the biggest debate. And we were able in that conversation to take him from a place of staunchly Christian conservative thinking to more of a libertarian thinking on gay marriage, which is, why is the government involved in the first place? As Christians, I don't want the government's I have a friend. He got married on Sunday and they filed the paperwork and got the marriage license on Monday. And so he asked, what day is my anniversary? Is it when I swore before God that I would love this woman, or was it when I swore before the state? And the answer is before God. And so as Christians, we don't want to give the state powers that God reserves for himself. And he was very receptive to that message. And it's because he was relaxed and able to listen. And, you know, I don't know where he's at as a congressman now on it, but I think the GOP as a whole is kind of realizing that's a dead issue and that it is something that they just don't need to discuss. So we've been very successful in Indiana with people like Congressman Todd Rokita, who is a friend of mine, who is a really good guy too, Jim Banks. Over the years, as they have I've been involved in local politics for 15 years, and I've had personal relationships with these people who were smaller tier politicians who then went on to now serve in the U.S. Congress. Rokita's running for Senate in Indiana. We've been able to influence them in a more libertarian direction as their career has progressed on certain issues. So it is just about finding common ground with these people. But you're never going to get time with a congressman and sit down and get them to change their views. The stakes are just too high. The fundraising goals are too high. And it's just the structure, the incentives are perverse. And so that's an unfortunate thing. But it really helps when you get involved at a local. I mean, I persuaded these people who are now congressmen while I was working for the Libertarian Party. I wasn't in their party. But I built relationships with them because I had been in the Republican Party first. So find relationships with these politicians early on. The earlier you can get to them, the better. And convince them as they go on. Anybody else have anything that they want to add to it?
I was going to mention finding common ground. He talked about how he wanted to push farther right. And I did a little research after you sent me the question. But from all the trending data that I saw, the Cobb County was actually trending more Democrat. It was actually the first time since 1980 that in 2016 the Democrats actually voted for the president. It was all Republican up to then. So to me, that seems he's going the wrong way if he's wanting to actually get elected. And as far as trying to push for more libertarian, I think you got to take what you can get from the Republicans and take what you get from the from the Democrats. I mean, you got to work on social issues with the Democrats and take the, you know, your drug, marijuana, whatever.
Your
civil issues, and then your more tax, and then
economic
from the Republicans. And you just got to figure that out and preach those, because no one's ever going to change. You're not going to get a Republican congressman to come out and say, yeah, I'm pro-choice. I mean, it's not going to happen. So
unless he's a Lincoln or a log cabin.
I mean, it may, but it's going to kill him. Everybody who goes through, I'm a Republican, this is what I believe. Okay, that's why I'm, you know, it is how it is. And you gotta try to, I don't know, grease up the gears that you want to get. And it's not just going to be from one congressman. That's not going to do shit. No. You got to get more than that.
You got to build a coalition.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And if you can find that
the
big thing's creating like the trade-off. So if
absolutely.
You can get a package deal where it benefits, thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome. I adjusted his mic.
She
for
just
him.
Thank you, Kat.
She's white.
She just mic shamed me.
It's four years.
No, I saw it. It was like a centimeter that just
I know.
Needed to go.
4 years.
There you go.
Sorry. No mic technique.
Sorry, I got
welcome, Greggy.
Thank you, Catherine.
I just gave him a very long hug.
Lingered.
Long and deep. Mm-hmm. Long and deep.
You smell great.
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You don't smell like tzatziki.
Thank you.
But yeah, like you have to find the...
I can be your hero, baby. Can we get back on messaging?
Well, no. I mean, I think speaks for... I'm sure this is an insightful, smart individual that would write in. You know, and call you dear leader, so he clearly, you know, he knows the lay of the land.
Exactly.
But if you're expecting anything more than a private conversation where he confides in you and maybe concedes he's not quite as ideologically certain as he comes across in public, you've done your job. That's about the most you can expect. And actually, we have on We Are Libertarians the Ultimate Libertarian Sales Guide. It's a list of questions I wrote a few years back that is designed to walk someone through and flush someone out through their political philosophy. And the way the questioning is designed is, I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who wouldn't arrive at the libertarian position. So I would we can send that to you in the email through email, or if you want to check it out.
Yeah. So just go search on the site, the Ultimate Sales
The List of Questions.
Yeah. So the Socratic Method.
Yep.
As we like to call it. Please talk because I'm going to yawn.
Yep. Anyway, well, so while he yawns and it spreads like a virus.
I got it.
Oh, that was
like,
a joke. That was acting.
You guys are so
who
boring.
Who thought tag and act? I didn't know. We got video and now you bust out these acting chops.
I know.
God, and you're a cowboy.
Hey, I've been practicing. I got a green screen in my house.
That's true.
I'll be on Alex Jones InfoWars next week.
You mean you're already
at least the set. The set. I'll be on the set.
He cites you all the time.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's
just
hilarious.
Look out for that video on YouTube.
We've so got globalists to beat.
Listen, all right. Well,
down with the scum.
Let's move on to our next topic. Donald Trump is having a... Well, it's a regular week for Donald Trump. It's not a good or a bad week.
A Trumpian week.
It's just a Trump week.
Yes.
The funniest thing, we were doing one of the most...
Whoa.
Dang it, Kat! Sorry, she yawned and got me.
Sorry.
The
8:52 p.m.
We're just sitting there, bored out of our mind, and we get a text message from the Washington Post, and it says, Scaramucci has been fired after 10 days, and I howled with laughter because it was so funny. That was kind of the highlight of the week, was that Anthony Scaramucci?
Yep, Scaramucci.
Yep, he came in. He was appointed as the communications director.
Find the leak.
He was going to find the leak. He did this disastrous interview with
New Yorker.
The New Yorker that we touched on the end of the last episode. And he used a lot of foul language.
He's a New Yorker.
And he he basically effectively pushed out Reince Priebus, and he pushed out Sean Spicer. And that was kind of the sealing of his fate, because the person that was brought in to replace Reince Priebus, the chief of staff, was John Kelly. And John Kelly is a former general, and he looks like he is no nonsense. So I want to talk about John Kelly and who he is, because I think that he is. This is going to be a dramatic shift in the Trump administration. A little background: Reince Priebus was the six-year head of the Republican Party, and he led the Republican Party through the Tea Party revolt years.
He was the great consensus builder,
absolutely. And he, I think, he did a great job as.
Oh, his chair.
Michael Steele preceded him, and Michael Steele was somebody who was largely ineffective. And then Reince Priebus won a highly contested race, and nobody really knew who he was, as most people don't know who the chair of a party is.
And he was so young.
Yeah, and Priebus, a lawyer by trade, was able to keep the Republican Party as a party functioning well, even while there were all these different ideological splits throughout the government, throughout the states, throughout the all the different ranks of the Republican Party. And he was able to keep them competitive, competitive through all of that turmoil as the chair of the Republican Party. And so... He was also very fair towards Donald Trump, and that is why he ended up getting the
chief of staff position.
But right. he and Sean Spicer were the only real connection to the swamp in the Trump administration.
They were the institutional knowledge for the most part.
Absolutely, and so they were the ones who had the relationships with people on Capitol Hill. Now, many people on Capitol Hill were just dumbfounded, because as the head of the RNC, he had a lot of good relationships, but so many balls were getting dropped over the course of the last 6 months by Priebus, by many people in the Trump administration, but they thought Priebus was going to be the one. So Pence stepped in, Vice President Mike Pence stepped in to manage a lot of those relationships, and a lot of people on the Hill... congressional Republicans feel that this was a good move, because it was actually Reince Priebus who was not really pushing the president's agenda in an effective way.
Bless you. Okay, there, dear leader.
Yeah, I was waiting for Greg to jump in, and then he just.
Well, I mean, no, I was listening. I wanted you to be able to set it up, because I know you have some clear. The thing with Reince Priebus is, when President Obama won, he was heavily reliant on former Clinton staffers. That is why he had former mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, who's arguably the most effective political operator in all of American politics. The man, he burns bridges, but you bring him in as a short-term solution to get whatever you're trying to do accomplished, and that's it. But he ends up burning the place down, but whatever you were trying to do is done.
You need that guy.
Yeah, and so everyone needs that guy. They need that awful, evil scapegoat that is effective.
That's who the mooch was.
Exactly.
Came in to fire Rince Penis.
In just 11 days.
Rince Penis.
Yeah, that's the new 4chan for Rince Priebus. They call him the penis.
Rinsed penis.
Mm-hmm. Good old pull. Anyway, so Rince Priebus, though, the thing is, the Trump administration was, for the most part, either amateurs or not amateurs, but just
outsiders.
They were outsiders. They weren't ever accepted as any part of any political party anywhere.
Right.
And they just didn't even know, you know, if Rince Priebus and Mike Pence hadn't been in the room, if they needed to call the State Department, they wouldn't have known the number.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that simple. And so he was heavily reliant for that institutional knowledge to give him the lay of the land, tell him how things worked. However, you can't wear both hats. You cannot be the resource as well as the driving force for the, you know, being the connection to the Republican Party, which Trump was an outsider of as well as Congress, as well as, you know, the regulatory agencies. You can't wear all those hats and be effective and push a legislative agenda and try to drive things home. It just isn't possible to do all those. And so he is great. He's very, very nice guy, very, very much a consensus builder. He doesn't alienate anybody. He keeps all lines of communication open, never is incendiary or burns bridges. But That also means he's all carrot and no stick. And so right. he wasn't able to keep things in order because he's much more of a people pleaser and someone that is not afraid, but just doesn't see it as advantageous to go around shouting marching orders more like a Steve Bannon.
Right. Exactly right. So,
which is actually why Mooch got fired.
Really? Why?
The Washington Post reported that it was a White House administration official, of course unnamed, it is the Washington Post, said don't ever fuck with Steve. And that it was him who forced him out.
Really?
Yeah. After he called Priebus a paranoid schizophrenic.
Some ridiculous shithead.
But then he said that Steve Bannon tries to suck his own cock.
Oh, that's what. That's
oh,
what
yeah.
Because I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own cock in the New Yorker interview.
Oh, and so Bannon is the one who got rid
He's
of him.
The Dark Lord.
Okay.
I mean, this guy's Steve Bannon's the most well-read man in all of Washington, D.C., like, and he has no qualms about being evil. He loves it a little.
Of course. Like Kat.
Yeah.
Basically, Kat is Cartman. So.
No.
What are your thoughts about the Trump? Just period. Good guy, bad guy, okay guy.
Actual, like,
literally
actual
Hitler.
Actual Donald Trump.
President Trump.
Move.
How do you, are you conflicted?
Yeah, obviously. I think everybody is.
What are the good parts? I think a lot of people just hate him.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. People just hate him.
Like, my mom just hates him, not for any substantive reason, purely because of how he behaves.
But then again, look at Hillary Clinton.
But
a lot
yet
of people,
she loves us.
Yeah. Well.
Love, not like.
Right. No, I think it's, you know, a lot of people hate him as a person. A lot of people who, you know, are educated don't like some of the things that he's doing. Mm-hmm. They may or may not.
They find it just crass and so white trash.
I personally like him more than Hillary Clinton, not because of his policies, because he is more entertaining. He's more fun to watch. He's a businessman. He's a showman. He's
scripted reality all the time.
Right. He's not a robot.
He's like Jersey Shore of politics.
Yeah, exactly. That's
he's the
exactly
sitch.
Why.
Kat is rewatching Jersey Shore with her sorority mates.
And it is great.
Look at all you missed. All that culture.
So young.
You probably weren't allowed to watch it when you were a kid, when it was on live, right?
No, it was. A lot of my friends weren't allowed to watch it. My sister had like really strict TV, but then when it came to me, my parents were like, "Eh,
that
whatever."
Didn't work out.
Yeah,
better try a different route.
No, I was
next
telling
thing you know, she's on a podcast talking about peeing in cups.
Next thing you know, she's getting spray tan. You know, the cabs are here.
Cabs are here. T-shirt time.
Denim.
It's the meatballs. The meatballs are here. Sunday dinner, man. You never miss Sunday dinner. No, but
Vinny,
Paulie. No. But, yeah, I don't know. I think as a person, very fascinating. His family is very fascinating.
Is there anything
as well.
That you can singularly point to and say, you know what, I like that. I'm glad he did that.
His hair. Love that he uses Twitter. I'm
you went to his inauguration, so like it's not like you're unfamiliar with him.
Oh, no, I know who he is. Honestly, I love that he uses Twitter.
Okay, you love the direct access and like, not going through the press to communicate?
Yeah, I think that's hilarious. Coming from a media person, I think that is hilarious.
Cutting them out completely.
Right, because it's my like shit lord kind of persona coming out, right?
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious. I also really liked the thing he put out. What was it? The like his first 100 days, he put out his like itinerary for the first day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought that was so...
At the press conference, the first press conference where he literally read at the press conference everything he had done.
Yeah, and he was like, 8:40 a.m. having breakfast. Then you know.
You mean the itinerary for his day at each day at the residence.
Day. Yeah, I thought that was so interesting.
Just giving that kind of access?
Yeah, because you never hear that kind of stuff.
No, it's a threat, usually. It's considered a threat to national security. And he's like, people have been trying to kill me my entire life.
Yeah, and I don't care.
Yeah.
No, that's what I really like about it is, you know, a lot of people say it's not transparent. I mean, a lot of the stuff he does probably is not transparent, but
and
I
that's
think he's very
necessarily so.
Right. I think he's very entertaining.
So entertainment would be the number, your favorite thing about him. What would
For
be
sure.
your least favorite? Is there anything he does that makes your blood boil?
I hate that he's so... And I guess you could argue that he's not extremely loyal to the GOP, but I hate that he's part of that in a way. He's kind of tied to it, even though he doesn't want to be.
Even though they spent $35 million in Florida desperately trying to get him not to be the nominee?
Right. I hate that he's still kind of representing...
You hate the GOP brand that much?
No, I just hate how much hate he's getting, that a lot of people hate the GOP for no reason.
And so that he's the recipient of it, even though he's not really a Republican?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
That's what I hate. Because especially like in college, like people are like, you're a Republican? That means you hate blah, blah, blah,
you
blah, blah.
You tar and feather gay people for fun.
Exactly. That's what I hate. Yeah. I hate the negativity that he brings.
Okay.
Just like if he ran as a libertarian, we
would
hate
the environment that he's brought. Not
for
necessarily
sure.
anything he's done, just the sort of like toxic environment.
Basically,
and culture.
She hates winning, is what she's trying to say.
Yeah. Oh no, I thought it was so entertaining.
What about though? Is there any policy or anything that you're just like, you know what, I outright disagree with that, and he's wrong?
I mean, probably the trans ban, like we talked about last episode. I don't think that's very.
That's bullshit. It's the military.
Yeah, but
you don't have the right to serve in the military.
Here's the thing. I agree about, you know, it's the military. However, that's one of the, even though I said I love how much he, you know, backpedals around the media.
Yeah.
That's one of those things. It's like Mike Pence and RFRA. It's like, if your PR guy would have just been a little bit better.
Positioned it more correctly.
We would have, you know, that wouldn't have been a deal.
Yeah, but then you don't get the talking points on, because everything Donald Trump does is for show.
Oh, exactly.
We've talked about this
so,
100 times.
It's conflicting.
So you don't like it that he, you know, decided to go this route on the banning transsexuals from participating any further in joining the military.
Right.
But existing ones are fine. And then you don't like the toxic culture that's arisen because of him, because you don't feel like he's the scapegoat.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
And then you like that he speaks directly and cuts the press out rather than letting it be interpreted.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay. So, positive, negative, if you had to say. Are you positive for Trump or are you negative for Trump?
Whew. Well, that is difficult. I don't know, Greg. What about you?
Well, I love every day. Like, this is the greatest era of my
answer
life.
Answer the question.
He asked you.
Yeah. I'm going to say I pass.
That's fine. I don't care. I'm just literally asking.
Like I said, glass jimmies, I cannot.
You don't want to take a position?
Do you own stocks?
Your blowback?
Right. Here's the thing. Once Friday hits, I have to go back to school, and I really would not like to be tarred and feathered.
You think you would?
For sure.
For saying that he isn't Hitler?
I lost so many friends because I went to the inauguration.
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I believe it totally.
Not going to lie.
Are you serious?
Not going to lie. I read a few text messages that I should not have read, but I read them anyways, of, I'm not going to say who, but people were talking about me with their friends from home or whoever, saying, so-and-so went, or Kat went to the inauguration, what a beep, 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 beep. Yeah, not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. No, I was taken out of a wedding party.
Here's the thing.
How did you handle that?
I bottled it up until it eats me alive slowly every night.
Are you still friends with them?
Yes. Like your piss, you bottled it up?
Yeah, just like my piss.
Turns out I gave him a six-pack of Red Solo cups with aged urine.
Let's just say I sold them a six-pack of Gatorade, lemon-lime Gatorades, and it was not Gatorade.
Yes, got Kinnaman's tears. Your parents.
Here's the thing is literally when I leave college and I am able to have my own job and surround myself by choice with you guys and just you guys, then I'm not going to care.
How do you feel about that, Greg?
No, I mean,
you
know how it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know what you mean. You're going to avoid any unnecessary conflict rather than going out and being a lightning rod on these things.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. I get that.
It's very
What's the fun in that.
I would never know. I've been stirring shit forever.
Oh yeah, I know. That's why half of me loves Donald Trump because how entertaining he is and
how much fun you
the
think
liberal
he's
tears are.
He's right now behind a laptop as we speak, saying,
giggling.
"What can I do to piss them off today?"
No, that's what I love.
Here's the thing, though, Kat, is that I've found because I've always been very much like you in that respect, where it's like, you know what, I just don't want to rock the boat, and I don't want to deal with the hassle of this.
I want to be well thought of.
Right. But over the last year or two, I have become so much happier by just saying exactly what I think, and just it's other people's problems, and the people that, like, I haven't lost any friends. I mean,
none that matter.
And there are plenty of people who find my behavior disagreeable and my opinions disagreeable, but they're still my friends.
Right.
And what ends up happening is that you end up with a whole new group of friends because when you do say exactly what you think about Trump or a person or whatever, then they go, yeah, finally somebody's saying exactly what I think.
Right, but you have to remember you're, what, 33?
33.
You're 33. Your friends are all, for the most part, older. I'm 20 years old, and the people that I surround myself daily don't get that. And they won't get that for another 10 years.
And it's the most intense time in your life where people are their most political and most ideological. And, like, ideologically angry.
And it just so happens to be this is the election that it falls under. You know, if this were the, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example, like Gerald Ford election, right?
Oh, yeah, this is one-off of it. This is an anomaly.
I was
Exactly.
I was the college Republicans president in 2004, I campaigned for George W. Bush.
He raised money for Dick Cheney.
In the heat,
he did 9/11.
In the heat of the Iraq War, trust me, I get it. But I had reveled.
I'm out.
I was like, I was. Listen, we all do things in college we're not proud of.
I know.
Some
you
of us
raised money for Dick Cheney.
Right.
She pees in cups.
Fat girls.
Arguably, that's way worse.
Fat girls.
Hey, I like to drink in college, man.
Listen, we all had a
Wait, are you calling me fat?
No. I didn't. No, that was completely unrelated.
He was talking about what he regrets doing
just
in college.
Just because I pee in cups doesn't mean... No, I'm kidding.
It doesn't mean that I'm wheelchair bound. I can't get out of my hover around.
I didn't really care what you were saying until just then when the insecure sorority girl came out and you're like, are you calling me fat?
Well, that's like when I said you had diabetes yesterday and you got upset.
I was like, no, I didn't get upset. I was like,
he was upset.
I was like, I do not have diabetes. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't want to have diabetes, not because I don't want to deal with diabetes. I just don't want to have to deal with Bittner.
Oh, I thought you meant like needles or something.
No, yeah, I know, like something insulin. Very logical.
Having diabetes, I could deal with that. Having diabetes while being friends with Keto Bittner, I can't.
He would save you, and you know it.
I can't handle it. We'd be too close.
Would you want to be saved? That's the real question.
Right.
For this day and age.
Let's weigh the benefits and costs of each side.
What's the sound of that? Oh, that's the donut truck backing up to Spangle's apartment.
Yeah, he decided to just put an IV of maple syrup right in.
He's got a Krispy Kreme oven.
He puts his head in it every night, wishing Keto Bittner would leave him alone.
No, but I think, you know, going back to that whole thing, it's... As objective as I can be, I love how entertaining and shitposting he is. I love it, right?
It speaks to
you. I hate, but at the same time, some of his PR tactics are very annoying because it gives...
Such as?
Like, you know, just blatantly tweeting out the trans ban. When, if you look at it, it's just like riffraff.
He's trying to provoke and create a storm.
Right, which, and some parts is very funny, but at the same time, it's like, okay, now because you're so, you know, tied... In a way, to the GOP. Now you're
everybody
just giving.
Everybody thinks I hate trainees because I like you and went to your inauguration.
Right.
Hong Kong, trainee probs. Now right. I'm sorry I'm late.
But sorry, do you get what I mean?
Sorry to throw your board off the balcony. Tranny problems.
Honk, honk.
Yikes. No, but you kind of get what I mean.
Oh, I get exactly what you mean. I get it. And being 20, it's totally different to look at it through that lens. So.
Yeah, I mean, how's it feel to have the Art of the Deal be older than you?
Wait, how old's the Art of the Deal?
1984,
right?
Oh, my goodness. That's older than Taylor Swift.
Somewhere over there is a first edition.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In a place of honor.
Don't pee on that.
Gotta use it to wipe.
I like that now Kat is marking things.
She is. That's what she said. She's
speaking of
spraying,
that, I
she's
have to pee so bad.
Go.
No.
Go pee.
No.
Me first.
No, it's okay.
Seriously, we can pause for a second.
No,
we're not. We don't need to pause. We go.
Give me that bottle. I'm going to top it off.
Seriously, you're not going to be able to focus.
Here.
I know. I'm
here.
Go.
I could actually. Do you want me to?
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
I dare you to pee in that bottle right now.
No, because I got to drink it on the way home.
If it were disposable.
Yeah, if it were disposable.
Yeah, go pee. We pee during the middle of the episode all the time. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
You
know what's hilarious? I've actually have peed on this because I wore it in the lake on 4th of July, and I peed all over Lake Monroe.
Spangle, what would be your... So, obviously, we all feel the same, given we're all, you know, incendiary, polarizing people that enjoy creating a storm.
Sure.
So that's going to be where we all agree. Ted, I'm sure... I mean, you were on the Trump train before anybody.
I wasn't on the train. Wait a minute. I wasn't actually on the train... I called that he would win.
I
was Scott Adams before Scott Adams.
Tad watched Right Side Broadcasting before anybody knew what Right Side Broadcasting was.
You're goddamn right. And I'd send it. I was like, you guys watching this?
You were watching the rallies for 2 hours, multiple rallies a day at night. And I was like, they're great entertainment.
Before he was even the nominee. I mean, I'm talking back like when there were 17 people in the Republican Party, and I'm like, this dude's got 13,000 people out on a Wednesday night, and he made them wait 4 fucking hours in a hangar. I'm like, this dude's jet setting. How can you compete with a guy who's flying his private plane around, pulling up to a hangar, dodging assassination attempts by crazy liberals, giving bedtime snake story speeches? I mean, this is the greatest thing of all time. I'm like, he's not even talking policy. The only thing he's saying is, I'm going to build a wall, and... Screw Muslims, I'm going to ban them, and then that's it. I mean, that like he's got 3 talking points, and they're all just, the crowd goes nuts when you hear it, and you're like, oh, this is building.
He really speaks to you.
No, but he spoke to the people who were there, and then you could all,
Also, it was the emotional frenzy, not the content.
Absolutely. Donald Trump is a genius because he's always done this.
Someone else has done this before, by the way.
Yeah.
Who?
Another great leader.
Hitler over Germany. Oh, God. No, Adolf Hitler. I swear to God. Hitler's campaign slogan was Hitler over Germany. The reason what that means, it wasn't because it was pledged loyalty to Hitler before Germany. It was because he was the first to use air travel. And right. So he would fly around all over Germany, and he would just go for 2 hours and rant. And people would get worked into this psychosis. And people have done interviews, and they said, after watching him speak, he owned me.
Well, and
it didn't matter what he said.
Hitler played to the crowd, too. I mean, he would go to – Trump would go to wherever he's at. I mean, we're bringing coal jobs back.
He became whatever room he walked into.
Absolutely.
And that's been done before, and that's the best way to be if you're a politician.
It is. If you go watch Hitler, A Career on Netflix, it is single-handedly the best documentary on Hitler that has ever been produced. And I've seen literally them all. It walks you through all of this, and it talks about the early campaigns and what he did to kind of build the Nazi movement. And
the beer hall punt like speeches.
What you realize is there are so many parallels between Hitler and
Trump. Carried a list of like his tactics next to him on the campaign trail.
Yeah, like
it obviously worked.
No, but
to get elected, I mean,
when you get someone to commit to you on an emotional level, you can say whatever you
want.
That's
what you have to do. You have to appeal to their one emotion. Scott Adams talks about that. I don't know if anybody's listened to Scott Adams.
Great troll.
Broken down.
Dilbert, on Joe Rogan.
No, he had the Joe Rogan podcast, and then he had one with Sam Harris, too, where he absolutely just tore Sam Harris a new asshole. And which I like Sam Harris, but like he is so – when it comes to politics, he's so blind. Like he's got his blinders on. He can't
– Sam Harris is a moron.
No, he's not. He's actually pretty smart.
No, he's a dumb.
No. You don't like him because he's an atheist.
That's right. He's an idiot.
I know. No. But anyway, he explains the – what happens when you pander to people's feelings, and not just, you don't have to get all their issues. You just have to get their top issues, whatever they feel, you know, I mean, 50% of
single issue voters.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And that's what Trump did. He played to the wall. He played to immigration. He played for people who've lost their jobs. Whether that
Christians,
which that kind of ties in as well. And then the
Corinthians too.
I had the cracker and the wine. I've done it before.
He's played it. He's
I'm saved.
He's done his entire career. He just plays to the room, like you said, and it works. And the thing is, Trump's a liar. He lied about this. He lied about that. What's he actually lying about? He's lying about, his crowd size? What the hell does that have to do with
you're
that?
You're upset a politician lied to you?
Yeah, I mean.
You want an emotional support dog?
He's not a politician, but he is at the same time. It's.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
But so the good, though, like the economy's done really well. Dow's top. 22,000 outstanding. Oh yeah, unemployment's all-time lows.
Seeing people just
no. The only thing that's lagging is wage growth, and they're not sure why we have such low unemployment, and we haven't seen the uptick in wages. Like we're still waiting for those to rise. That's what usually happens next. And so
it's
the economy's booming.
Really? Nobody reports that.
Right, and like a lot of it is a artificial boom from the real estate industry overheating right now, as you see property values go up. As there was no expansion in supply for 8 years after the financial crisis. It isn't Donald Trump that's single-handedly, said economy rise.
Right.
You know, he can't do that. But he also, the way the economy functions is all forecasting. Yep. And so it's about basically future expectations. And Trump has been he's the best president in my lifetime in as far as putting a halt to the regulatory state.
That and like stability.
He also has, so far, looked, foreign policy-wise, he's been really good. I know this sounds crazy, but I expected mass chaos with everyone frozen in fear.
Yeah.
And that's not easy to handle as a citizen, but that's the ideal because everyone's in paralysis and no one moves.
And it's great for the market because the market can... If we're going to have peace, it's the best time.
Right. And so he's also created the expectation that he is going to be so pro-American business. People don't even know what that means, but they have an idea. And so it's the idea that America is open for business for future investment, and you won't be penalized for investment income.
Yeah.
And so he's done a really good job with that. And so if the Fed controls a lot of this, and it's not all his... Clearly, everything shouldn't go to him.
Mm-hmm.
But just purely stopping the giving the... you can't pass a new regulation without cutting two. And then also, he's been very stable as far as what he supports economically.
As Anthony says, he telegraphed corporate tax cuts and regulatory restraint.
And so that's all off future growth.
You want one new regulation, get rid of two in your department.
Right, and that's fantastic because it creates a mindset that's self-fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is where an area where I think he's excelled. I think he's excelled in foreign policy. And I know people think I'm crazy. I'm an outside-the-box thinker on foreign policy because the reality is there's no such thing as a world of peace. The only way to get there is through frozen in fear, because someone's going to always be moving or positioning themselves to grow or maintain future power, which inevitably will result in conflict.
Mm.
You know, it's like the Thucydides trap.
We touched on the madman policy too, like the madman theory.
Yeah, and so
and that's and whether he is crazy or not. He's inexperienced.
It's irrelevant whether you're crazy or not.
Absolutely.
As long as the outcome is peace, absolutely. You're doing wonderful.
Absolutely.
And so I think he's done a very effective job of playing the madman or being the madman and making everyone say, I don't want to move because I'm not entirely sure he won't drop a mob on our capital.
Yeah, I mean, he'll just nuke some city out in the middle of nowhere.
Randomly.
Yeah, just for shits and giggles. We have this thing sitting around for 16 years. Why not drop it on somebody?
He might just hit like a Siberian for abandoned army base just on a random Wednesday with no announcement.
He might nuke Chernobyl just to, you know.
Just do it again.
Yeah.
Want to make sure we got him this time.
Speaking of got him this time, Spangle, you are going to enjoy your shower tonight.
Oh, did you pee in my shower?
Peed in a shampoo bottle.
Pranked.
His hair is going to be silky sterile.
Now listen, yeah, urine is sterile. Okay.
Well, I've read articles on this.
No. Alex Jones disagrees.
Urine is sterile. It's when it sits out that the bacteria start to
grow.
Yeah.
One time there was mold in a cup. I'm kidding.
Oh, we missed the grossest part of all of this is that your roommates are so okay with it that they empty your pee cups.
Oh yeah, my one of my roommates, Jordan, said, "Oh, I went." She
used the name.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. No, she was like, listen. "Oh, I've got to. Can I borrow that dress or whatever?" And I was like, "Yeah, my room's unlocked. Go and get it." She goes in and gets it. Texts me, "Got it. Also dumped out your pee cup for you." Yeah, I that was a little too far for me.
That's a violation of personal property.
No, yeah, a little bit.
That is my urine. I was saving it for a drug
test.
It's
my body, my choice. I was not throwing that out.
It's like wine. It has to sit for a while.
I'm going to drink it later.
This is a 1972 Anagnos.
Right.
Hilarious.
So funny. Homebrew. But yeah, enjoy your shower tonight, Spangle.
That purr's going to be a little tangy. So, Spangle, what has just outright made you livid or angry?
I don't think there's been anything in the presidency
at all.
In the presidency, I think the bombings early on, the Moab and all that kind of stuff. It's like I was very uneasy as a non-interventionist. I was very uneasy with that. Like the bombing of Syria. I'm glad that didn't escalate into war, although it has not. The jury's still out, but I'm glad that it has
knock
not.
Wood.
That's the thing is, everything's on the brink at all times.
Exactly. So they're just. I made my peace with Trump when he won. So I spent a year and a half railing against the guy and saying what a piece of garbage he is and. Saying, like, this guy's not as libertarian as everybody thinks, and he's not.
He's by no means a libertarian.
No. He's done some good things like Gorsuch. I think the Gorsuch nomination is...
Huge.
Is so big for libertarian thinkers, and he is a great replacement for Scalia, and let's all pray that Kennedy does actually follow through in the next 3 years to leave. I'm so jaded about Republicans that
it's hard to give them
the idea that we have spent 8 years campaigning against the repeal of Obamacare, the guy who ran in 2008 on a repealing and preventing Obamacare came and actually was the one who is the deciding vote to keep Obamacare in place. We should be completely nonplussed by John McCain's behavior.
Well, he does have a mental disorder.
Hey, I just like people that weren't captured.
I like people who don't burn down entire cruise ships or whatever.
The I just
savage.
So I don't think there's anything that's been like when he won. It was just like, okay, he's just going to do the same stuff he did during the campaign. Like, I wasn't even, like, the grab her by the pussy stuff. Like,
as a girl, and I can say this because I'm a girl, I did not care.
Really?
And no, and everybody was like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. Okay.
To that point, you wrote a song about how Hitler killed the Jews exactly. in middle school during a project.
Right.
You're probably a bad test market.
Right, but here's the thing. If every single person in this world, if we had, it just so happened that, you know, we never had anything that JFK said on when he was however old on tape. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, he was banging Marilyn Monroe. Oh, yeah. So was his brother. They were Eiffel Tower.
Exactly. So it's just like, okay, this was the first time that we didn't have a picture perfect, you know, pure social media guy elected.
Yeah, Manchurian right. candidate.
Right, and it's just everyone was so up, and I can say this because I'm a woman, I did not care. Because
way to play the card.
Right, I know. Finally, I got to play a card.
That Greek card's been Greek sitting cards. In your back pocket
Woo!
Forever.
It is warm from sitting back there, no. But you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, God, there was nothing worse than everybody talking about. That just makes me so scared. He is condemning rape. It's like, shut up.
Honey, he's not going to grab you. Look at you.
As a woman and as a college age woman, like, was there a part of you that's like, yeah, of course guys talk like that. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If somebody recorded me, the things I say.
Hate speech. Hate
you know what I mean?
Speech.
And that just goes for anybody. Like,
not I.
Oh, right.
Trump
right.
had a roast on Comedy Central where he was like, fuck all you, I'm a billionaire. That was like his final words. Like, and that never came out? Like, what?
Right.
Like,
so
nobody
it's just,
gives a shit. It's Donald Trump.
And now more than ever, you know, because the age we live in, and especially within like, we get the first like round of candidates who are running who grew
up. The primary
up,
process?
Right, who grew up in the social media age.
Oh, gotcha.
So I guess my age.
Gallup just showed 2020, millennials will be the largest segment of the voting populace.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about running, though.
Oh, you mean as candidates?
Right.
Gotcha.
Because when that happens and when your entire, when you get to the point where we're voting for politicians whose entire life has been documented online, it's just going to be, we're going to laugh at, you know,
Google CEO
everybody,
said everyone should be entitled to, the government should allow everyone to do a entire digital identity change.
Yeah, that's Trump's Swap. Entire life, though. Trump technically could be the first person who, he's lived in the
he
public
made it,
eye
he made it okay.
from the very beginning.
That's
I guess
a great
you could
point.
Say.
He
you
made
know,
it okay
I mean, so
to
he,
be a deviant.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But that's not a disqualifier. Ask Kid Rock.
But right. he's not a deviant. Like, if you look at Trump, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke.
No.
He right. just says crazy shit, and he's from New York. It's not even really that crazy, it's just his personality.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a New York... New
that's,
York people from New York are... It's a
aggressive.
Different breed of people.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's not
it's
Midwest...
Not Midwest charm.
All right, country folk, come on, have a seat.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, we're gonna... I bet
on
you
the ranch?
10, 15 years, we're just gonna look back and say, okay, people were up in arms about that. Here's the Snapchat video of... Senator so-and-so.
When that happens,
that's there's wow. not going to be private. Like, if you're running...
But can
not...
you imagine a campaign attack ads with Snapchats?
Oh, it's going to be great.
I know.
It's going to be delicious. And guess what? And
it is not. It is going to create a culture of savagery.
Right.
So, Kat, say what you want.
But
we're
saying,
all fucked anyways.
No, but I'm saying, though, like, you don't want necessarily a... civil discourse environment where people are just blatant shit posting, but in real life.
Right.
But there's not going to be, it's going to be hard to blackmail anybody. It used to be blackmail. Oh, we've got, you know, got dirt on somebody that's under the, anymore it's going to be.
Yeah,
what
I said that.
What do you have? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I've got a porno. Like, I mean, that's what you're going to have.
Wait, you do?
Oh, yeah.
But you know what I mean. Michael. So it's just when we get to the point in our life in this world when, oh, Senator so-and-so is running for president, and look at these Snapchat videos we got of him in college doing X, Y, and Z.
It's not going to be news. That's the thing.
And nobody's going to care.
Nope.
Personally,
you're right.
I think nobody's going to care at all, and we're just going to focus completely on, you know.
Substance. You're saying that shitlording is going to lead us to the civics ideal of only caring about
the
policy?
Actual policy?
Yeah.
That would be
what
quite
actually matters?
The underdog tale.
No, exactly, because look at Trump. He said all of those comments and he was still elected.
It's an interesting theory.
He was elected on other things, but...
The backdoor shitlording your way to policy discussion.
Trump also had a perfect storm run against the shittiest candidate of all time.
Very true, very true. But here's the other thing. I don't even think it goes as far as shitlording. I think it's literally humans now, you know, people who went to, I don't freaking know, high school with Gerald Ford said, oh, I saw him beat up a kid. Okay, that's like, whatever.
Well, Lyndon Johnson leaked it to a reporter to ask Gerald Ford if he still fucked goats.
Yeah.
and his campaign manager said, you know that isn't true. And he goes, I know. I just want to hear him deny it.
Right. But when you go take it a step further, when I was back in 18, whatever, I saw him beat somebody up. No, it's going to be, here are these we found your college Twitter account. Look at all these things.
Yeah.
Tommy Lauren,
yeah.
Yeah.
She's quite see, like that, I don't know if I'm going to be all about a discourse environment where it's just back and forth sharing of embarrassing Snapchat videos and clips. And then that's what runs out as ads.
Well, at some point,
the nightly news.
But I think at some point, it's not even going to matter anymore.
Everybody's just going to go, all right, I'm at that point
now.
You
think everyone's going to desensitize?
Well, it's already got to that point.
Already at that point.
In the Trump presidency, it's already gotten to that point because they keep running these ads. Oh, Trump said this, Trump said that. That's all they run on CNN and Fox News all day long.
But eventually you get a breakdown because then your two camps become so team oriented. They're even the idea of listening to the other side is conceding basic facts is basically a betrayal of your team. So it's a complete breakdown of any type of conversation happening.
I see in the hills and valleys. It's going to bounce back at some point. It can't keep going.
Yeah.
It can't keep going. We're outraged beyond belief.
I think it's either, I agree. Because here's the thing. We're either going to have, there's going to be two world possibilities. We're either going to have the people who, you know, did all these, even worse than saying grab him by the pussy, these crazy videos.
Really actually bad things.
Really actual
like
bad things.
R. Kelly running for Congress.
That have been, captured online. We're going to have that.
Number two, that please generation. Say Waterworld.
Waterworld. No, Waterworld. Or number two, we're going to have just an increase in boring, vanilla politicians who grew up, like my age people, who grew up never going to a party, never putting themselves out there saying, I don't have any embarrassing Snapchats or embarrassing posts about me because I led a boring life.
Or,
so you know what I mean?
Never underestimate the Republican Party's ability to field boring candidates.
Exactly.
Oh,
but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And
so are we going to elect real people who have made mistakes and we have documentations of those real mistakes?
Based on your assessment of the existing Congress, what would you say we elect?
I think
watered down, whitewashed versions of what we idealize ourselves as. No.
Well, who's been able to hide what they've done?
Right, but when it's like my generation who is running for things,
it's gonna be the robots running everything by the time you're.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I love it. I enjoy it, but part of me worries because once you hate someone and once it becomes a standoff of who can embarrass the other side the most and see what sticks. And the more savage you have to get in order to do so, going to be some pretty vindictive, bitter grudges. And the idea of compromise, bipartisanship, and coexistence in a framework that's heavily centralized now rather than, you know, decentralized how it was designed becomes problematic. And you get an ish. This is what happened at the Civil War.
Yeah.
Extremely polarized individuals who firmly held differing beliefs and couldn't wait to shame the other side over them.
Yeah.
That cost, 600,000 American lives?
It cost 2% of the American population.
That's it? That's like, well, that's just a little more than what we have trained.
And you expand it out to a global order.
Imagine the entire population of Indiana being completely just gone, dead.
Some people would argue that's a good thing.
Listen, I'm one of Democrats, those people. I'm arguing for more.
And that doesn't include the maimed, the people that died of disease, the people that, I mean, that's just dead. War dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it's just, are we going to move forward or are we going to take a step back? Because every single person, I don't care who you are, has done something awful, has said something terrible, has done something embarrassing in your life.
Started a podcast.
But now, my generation is really the first to grow up in that awkward / terrible whatever phase where you're being documented and those documentations, I guess you could say, aren't going anywhere.
You're the surveillance society.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so are we going to be forgiving towards those people? And that's why I think we're going to be, because look at Donald Trump, just one of the factors. Or are we going to be so far removed and so offended that we're going to elect even more boring people than we than the GOP is now.
I think at some point we're just going to move on from giving, I think, and it's already kind of happening societally over the last 20 years, people have just stopped paying attention to politics, and they have absolutely...
But they're paying attention now more than ever because of President Trump.
But they aren't really paying attention.
Not to policy. Per se. Yeah.
They're paying,
to the entertainment, like
right.
I said.
They're paying attention to the pro wrestling. They're not paying attention to
the
policy.
I got The Rock.
Right.
The Rock's going
to
win.
So So when you ask me to kind of bring it full circle, like when you ask me, is there anything that I've been upset about? No, and it's just because I just was like, this is going to be a shit show. I might as well just enjoy it.
The deportation, the ICE or the drug war, the amping up and the supportive sessions for the war on drug or marijuana.
It's like I've been at this so long that like
I get you.
I've been at this so long that like yeah, a Republican administration comes in and starts reversing positives for liberty. Oh well, no shit. When the next guy gets in, they will start doing what Holder and What's-Her-Face did. Like, it is just, that's the nature of politics. Politics is fluid, and nothing is ever permanent. And I just get so tired of so many people commenting on politics who think that the current situation is always so permanent. You know, right. Like, people don't understand that everything in life is fluid. Let's say Tad and I have a horrible fallout. And we are just
on
like
your part.
Super pissed off at each other. Well, that doesn't mean that relationship is permanently over. Like my ex-wife and I saw each other this past weekend. Perfectly friendly. How are you doing? I couldn't have hated a human being more than I hated my ex-wife, and vice versa. And now we you know, I'm glad you're doing well. I'm glad you're remarried.
Now she likes your calves.
She said, if you want to know what a win is. It's your, and this is a win on so many levels. It's your ex-wife saying, "Wow, your legs are smaller than mine."
Huh.
So you have to understand that everything is so fluid, including gender now. So you have to just kind of take a step back and go, "Okay, we're going to have single payer healthcare." And you're just going to have to find ways to find liberty in – you're going to have to fight against it. If we lose that, then you try and – there's constant loopholes. It's like racing. I love racing. There's constant cheating. Everybody is always cheating.
It's not cheating if you don't get caught.
Right. They just
not cheating
first or last.
Playing to win.
They just continually keep trying to find ways to push the rules. So they can push the boundaries, and that's what we have to do with this government, because the government is only going to continue to expand until it collapses. I firmly believe that. I don't believe that we're ever going to get back to a government that is a constitutional government that is
as it was designed.
Absolutely, that was limited government. So we just have to kind of. I think Roger Paxton, in a lot of ways, has. If you go back and listen to the Lions of Liberty episode in the feed where I'm on with Roger Paxton. And he's talking about, you know what, I don't pay attention to Washington. I don't care. I'm just focused on building liberty in my local community. And that is one good thing about our Liberty LARPer friends in New Hampshire, is that they're trying to find ways to expand the liberty in New Hampshire, in their local communities. So if and when it does collapse, there's already a culture of liberty and freedom in their local area.
And making it like operating without the necessary relevance of government.
Absolutely.
And
so
that's commendable.
So to me, I just don't put a lot of emotional stock into Donald Trump. I think that Donald Trump is a clown, and I think that he is funny.
Has he irrevocably damaged, you know, the respect people traditionally have for the office of the presidency?
Yes.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Irrevocably.
I think that I think that started with Nixon, and then I think that it accelerated under Clinton, and then the other side took
it
to
Bush.
What about
Carter?
No, Carter was a nobody. He was a
absolutely.
Nobody.
That's
he was a nobody, know nothing.
He was an engineer from Georgia.
Peanut farmer? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Penis farmer. Right. Penis farmer.
Rince Priebus worked on his farm.
Rince penis.
Yes, he has irrevocably changed politics, I think.
Yes, that's certain. But I mean the respect people hold and treat the office of the presidency in the role.
There is no respect
in things like giving the Medal of Honor and things like state dinners in the formalities and the traditions.
It depends on if you like him or not. It from what I judge, because there's people who absolutely they won't even call him president. You'll just
not
hear
my
Trump
president.
Today.
Right.
Trump the news media too. Well, you'll hear it on the radio. Trump today. I'm like, he's the fucking president. I mean, have a little respect. Yeah, I mean, he is the president. But there's
that.
No,
why? The president kills people. The president is taking our liberties. The president is King George in 1775. I mean, I don't think that we have to respect the presidency. I don't think that we need to respect the president. I don't think we should respect the Congress. These are people that do not actually reflect American values. They reflect the worst in American values. I don't respect people who lie. I don't respect people who are inauthentic. I don't respect people that steal. I don't respect people that murder. I don't respect people that do that. So why should I lend this patriotic bullshit notion that I need to respect the president when I don't believe in anything that he's doing?
Because he's still the president. It doesn't matter if you believe in it or not.
Doesn't matter. I'm of the mindset that if you don't believe I read the Declaration of Independence every 4th of July. And
nerd!
Shut up, Kat. And what it basically says is that if you don't like your rulers, you stand up and you walk out of the room and you just start your own country. If we don't like the government that we have the ability to change it completely. So I don't respect the presidency. I don't respect Donald Trump. And I respected the man that Obama was.
But why? Obama arguably was worse. He was 8 years, and it's only been 6 months of Trump. Worse for liberty than Donald Trump has been so far. Why would you respect Obama? Because he was a politician? Obama didn't lie?
I think he's a man. I think he has good character.
Oh, that's bullshit.
But I don't think that he has I don't think that his policies were in any way, shape, or form good. I don't think that Donald Trump is...
What matters then? Is it the policy or the character?
Substance or style?
Because... To me, it's what's actually being done.
But what I'm saying is that it doesn't matter if the man...
I agree with you on that.
If the man is a good man or a shitlord like Donald Trump, the president...
But if he's doing something good and he's a shitlord, he's still good. It's still a good...
Does it rob it of its morality?
There's no such thing as morality in that. What has Donald Trump done that has been good? Other than Neil Gorsuch, which is just one thing. What has he done that has been good?
Regulatory reforms.
Have we actually seen any kind of?
We have the
impact.
Slowing is enormous compared to the growth of the last four administrations.
Okay,
at this point, so it's not been like it's been a repeal, but it has been basically a stop in the dam.
So that's a great little drip in the bucket.
It is. No, I mean, but I mean,
that's liberty.
Honestly,
that's
for,
a little bit more
for liberty.
That's
that those are
had.
The gains we get.
Sure.
Given the government we have, we have to celebrate the lack. It's tough being a libertarian because you have to celebrate the slowing of progress as a win rather than actual demonstrable gains.
Mm-hmm.
Them gains, we don't get gains
as a
libertarian.
I respect gains. Let me show you the... Oh, damn, son.
Kat, you think that it's irrevocably damaged the way people will respect the office going forward? Just the office?
Yes, for sure.
You do?
Yeah. Do you not?
I don't know. I can't tell. It's hard to say. I don't think...
Here's the thing. I've only been alive for, like...
one president?
19 no. years too long.
Right. Good one. I'm actually 20. No.
Are you?
Yeah. No. Yeah, good one. Here's the thing. This is the biggest mess of a presidency I've been alive for. I've only experienced...
That's true.
I have experienced...
It's not a mess, though, because George Bush went through the same shit.
Right, but here's the thing. I was 5 when George Bush was in office, right?
Tourists did 9/11.
Right. I was in third grade. Here's the thing.
Juice.
Of course, I was born, I guess, in the last years of Bill Clinton's presidency.
You weren't aware yet.
I wasn't aware, and I really wasn't aware of George W. Bush.
No, you wouldn't be. Like, I don't remember have any recognition of Reagan or first Bush.
Exactly. So really, the only two presidents that I have been aware of and I've followed were Obama and Trump. Okay. Do you see the problem?
Yin and Yang.
Yin and Yang.
Ebony and Ivory.
Right. Oh God. So I don't know. It's like you see. Here's the thing.
You don't know what to compare it to.
I really don't.
You have no point of reference.
What I compare it to is how much people in the history books respected people. But here's the thing.
They didn't.
Exactly. Here's the thing. I always grew up thinking that Abraham Lincoln was the most respected president. He was murdered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was hated.
I mean, honestly, no one shredded the Constitution more trying to defend it than he did.
Right.
And that's why he's such a conflicted individual.
And here's the other thing, you know, growing up, through the 8 years of Obama, he was, and this isn't just because where, you know, my family or whatever, he was so hated.
The Antichrist.
He was the anti. Everyone hated him.
Year one and two.
Now all of a sudden, everybody loves him. Everybody nonstop talks about how amazing.
He's their cool black friend. They said it's their best friend.
Right. They tweet out, so many people I know tweet out pictures of Obama and, or Barack and Michelle Obama saying, couple goals AF. Like, come on. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, non-politically, they would be my first choice of people to hang out with other than the current president. Right. Hands down, we would have a ball.
Right. You wouldn't want to hang with George W.
No.
Come on. But Jebby. Jebby'd be hanging
with. Little Jebby.
Please clap.
Little Jebby.
Please clap.
Yeah, please clap.
But so do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I guess that's really tough. God, I forget you're so young because it's you have no point of
so
reference for anything other than
to?
Obama and President
Everyone
Trump.
Everyone hated Obama.
Bill
Everyone.
Clinton got his dick sucked in the office. That didn't do anything about...
I was two, and I'm like, I don't know what that is. But
I want to read the report.
Honestly, she still kind of doesn't. She's very innocent.
No, I read that report, like the graphic report of that, and I was like...
When?
Weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I thought like...
No, I
was my... Honestly, can you judge me for thinking it might have been like a third grade project for you after what you did in middle school?
Exactly.
This
is
my coloring book.
I read that, and I was shocked that they like released that many details.
They dropped the deets.
Woo!
It's called Slick Willie's Coloring Book, and it came with a blue crown and a lab as a dress.
Oh, my God. Now, this is a different kind of graphic novel, kids.
No, but, it's interesting that in the history books, especially growing up in school, every president... You know, they don't really talk about the negatives.
Well, those are propaganda.
Well, yeah. I mean, history does its thing, which is, you know, it slowly moderates. And they say that a statesman is a politician that's been dead for 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, so like you're glorified as somebody that's as distinguished and, you know, held with the utmost esteem when at the same time you were one paying a reporter to say that your opponent, you know, spent a little too much time tapping his feet in the men's room.
Right. Not going to lie. I didn't know it. I thought that. Not only Abraham Lincoln, I thought that JFK was a god until I came on this podcast. And I
really?
The whole back. Oh, yeah.
You don't like JFK? I'm a big JFK fan.
No, I like him, but I didn't realize all
he
the
was.
Things.
She didn't realize he was
oh,
killed.
Oh, his personal life.
No, I knew he was killed.
Like
I
the personal details of
personal
his philandering and ladies'
and,
man. And
oh, yeah.
You didn't know that he was massively cheating on his wife?
No.
Wow. I mean,
and his brother, too.
Honestly,
interesting.
Like we're in a separate environment because we actually, you know, read articles and that kind of thing. We don't just read Wikipedia, the
That's
breakdown.
Right.
And so if you live in the Wikipedia world, like the executive summary world, you would have no idea that, you know, he was raw-dogging randos and making interns, you know, service his fellow administration officials.
Well, and here's the other thing. By the time I have kids, I bet you that they're in their history books, Obama is going to be a saint.
He's
going to
be a god.
He is going to be the best president this country has ever had.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
No accomplishments.
So if anybody out there is looking to be a surrogate mother for Kat and her girlfriend.
Ew.
I'll scissor.
So I'm shocked. So you think it's irrevocable? There's been, at this point going forward, the whole thing of, I refuse to respect the office and basically the roles and customs and, you know, the traditions that they perform, the rituals, rather than
she just expensive equipment.
She just threw a temper tantrum.
I'm trying to have a conversation that will better our podcast.
You're just now trying on your last day, your last podcast. Jesus Christ.
Go on.
I hope it doesn't because I think if you get so cynical, you get to the point where you say, well, fuck it all. Nothing's going to make a difference. And that's no good because then that's the perfect cop-out to not try.
Right. To me, Trump...
And I hate that.
Trump shows that it actually still kind of works because
who
else
it's
was destined to fail?
It's the best sign for democracy ever.
Absolutely. And then...
That the will of the people matters.
Trump had 2%... Look at Nate Silver with his bloodshot eyes and his fucked up... Just fuck my shit up, fam, haircut.
I'm going to change it to 95%.
Local, man.
It's 97.
Yeah, I mean... And then Trump blows out Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's like,
right?
He won the election.
So that
democracy,
you're saying that should be a sign that it does change. If there was ever
going
to be
how you want to look at it,
but if there was ever going to be someone that's a wrench in the gear, it'd be him.
But
and what he's running into is a buzzsaw.
He's not a politician, and it's not. It's never meant to be. He's not going to be a politician.
But he had very limited political capital. He started behind the eight ball. There was no honeymoon phase. He started day one being accused of it was... They even challenged the legality of the election and whether or not it was legitimate.
Oh, right. I completely... Yeah, he's got everything going against him.
And saying, but if there were ever a guy who had the mindset the skill set and
the
complete lack of shame in order to undergo all that and affect change as an outsider.
That's the only reason he did it. That's the, why else would you run?
Right, but I'm saying he has really run into a buzzsaw.
No,
the
absolutely.
Deep state has done persistent leaks to the point
I think he thought it was going to be easier than what it is.
But you see how completely ineffective, and I think
he controls
all
three branches of the freaking government. They can't pass health care.
They can't do anything, and I think that this is such a great lesson for libertarians. Like, let's say Gary Johnson had won, he would be the most ineffective president of all time because there is no existing power structure. And even when you have to do
trade-offs, though.
Well, and so I think it is the... Sorry, you threw me off.
Sorry, I apologize.
What was I saying?
Gary Johnson would run into a situation where he wouldn't be able to do what he wanted.
Like, he has been a completely... Donald Trump has been ineffective because he is not part of the swamp. And my fear is that... You know, the swamp will swing its way back, and they'll win either in 2020 or 2024, and continue to build the deep state and continue to alienate us, because that's kind of what they've always done. Donald Trump was the right impulse in smashing that, but was the wrong person to do it. And he is the first populist candidate that in American history to ever win. There's a book called The Tragedy of William Jennings Bryan that you could check out if you want to really read about, like, and somebody who ran and served his government and continued and did so much for his cause, even if libertarians would disagree with it, and never achieved the presidency despite coming close. So Donald Trump was the perfect tabloid candidate in an era when tabloid is it's so hot right now.
It's the only thing that captures attention long enough to get noticed.
Well, he's been in the tabloid since the 80s.
Of course. But right. I think that America really – and I think Americans should start studying British politics, and I'm going to more because
Brexit.
I think – Yeah, I think that American politics is going to start becoming more like British politics, where you just have this entrenched government that is just sort of flailing along and really doesn't have a ton of impact on the people's life because the bureaucracy is so horrible. And the media is just so outrageous and focused on just tabloid journalism, and it just is all kind of inert. But then you also have these wild swings of passion where everything gets reformed. But again, nothing is permanent, and everything can change. And I think that our goal as libertarians ought to be educating people to continue to so if and when things do collapse, people choose freedom. And continue the march towards freedom that we have experienced over the last 1,000 years away from totalitarianism and autocracy, and that we continue to give ourselves more and more freedom. But I think that at some point, probably not in our lifetime, but some point in probably the next century, there will be a very bloody struggle for liberty in the United States against the United States government. And I think Donald Trump is just sort of the canary in the coal mine in my mind.
He's the first sign of that.
Yep, because he is someone who is so grotesque, and he is someone that
so swollen.
He is someone that I think that the American people have sort of like, I think that crowds work in the same way that kind of the body works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that the American system, the American people, have their own T cells, and when somebody like a Nixon comes into office, it everybody swarms and attacks them, and it pushes it out. When
a natural prevention system.
A Trump comes in, the T cells start pushing that out, because if you watch a lot of documentaries or read about Putin, you see so many similarities between that autocratic mindset that Putin and Hitler and other totalitarian dictators have, and the way that Donald Trump operates. And I think that he is our first kind of autocratic totalitarian president, and the American people have reacted to it so strongly, to the point that even if they do think in some ways that they want to like Donald Trump,
it feels good to want that strong man.
But they're not going to say it. They're not going to go through the social shame, because people, I think there's an unconscious crowd system at work trying to push out the autocrat.
A political immunity, immune system.
Exactly right.
Yeah. No, that's a really interesting perspective.
Right.
There's sort of this natural disaversion to anything outside the norm once it is inside, where you just, they don't ever, you know, you have to be, it's one bad Skittle, and you have to be overly preventative.
Somebody who smells like a dictator to the American spirit is absolutely untenable.
Oh, it's antithetical to everything we've ever believed.
Everything. And so, we are willing to entertain a Hillary Clinton who is one of the worst people to ever serve an American government.
Not a great track record.
In both achievement and, I think, in character.
Great in pantsuit.
Right.
That is where she excels.
You know, I love a good pantsuit.
Yeah, especially passing out.
Yes.
I've said it a million times, Hillary Clinton, whoever dresses Hillary Clinton, does a good job. She
Ray
is
Charles.
Moolock.
She's a 70-year-old woman that doesn't...
has hips like an angel.
She doesn't, you know. So anyways...
Well, you know she has a body double. You know she has a body double, right?
Yes, and the glasses.
And Parkinson's.
And Parkinson's and AIDS.
I've seen the doctor.
Guru.
Yeah, so I...
Children.
You don't think... So you're... I can tell, like, there are a lot of facets for you that go into this. Like, one, you appreciate and enjoy the entertainment aspect of Trump.
Absolutely.
That makes you feel like the fall of the Roman Republic. Like, are you entertained?
Absolutely. I definitely feel that way. I for me, the most terrifying moment of the campaign, the only time that Trump has ever truly outraged me, was when Donald Trump said, I may or may not accept the results of the election. And for me, that was the first time that the legitimacy of the American Republic was questioned by a presidential candidate, and the
whole system is based on trust.
Based on trust, and it was a very much a Caesarean moment in Roman history where, kind of exactly what I talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
where if you don't like the government, you can just kind of step aside and just do something different, like we did with... the American Revolution. We
challenge
like,
the legitimacy.
We can challenge
absolute.
The legitimacy. Hold on, let me finish this point. And so
that's the thing you hated.
That was the thing that scared me. It scared me that the Republic was over and that we were heading towards a de facto dictatorship. And eventually, we get to a point where a Putin can take over the United States and the presidency, and the legislative branch is just a fake rubber stamp of what's happening. That's obviously not happening in our world today. But
couldn't be less could, what's happening.
But it certainly could be the case in 50 to 100 years.
Yeah, it sets the standard for that.
And that was the first moment when the legitimacy of the Republic was questioned, and the 5,000-year leap, as Mark Skousen put it, 5,000-year leap is an amazing book. You should read it. And all that capitalism and that the United States Constitution have done to advance freedom and humanity, all of that was in question in that moment. And to my surprise, all of the people who were completely horrified and outraged by that comment by Donald Trump continued to do exactly what he said he was going to do after he was elected and have taken the Russian stuff where there is no smoking gun.
Well, there is. It's just on the Democratic side.
And have right, and they have absolutely diminished the Republic for bullshit political, non-political gains even. And they have greatly hurt the Republic, the presidency. And in some ways, I don't really care. But I also know that this is a pretty stable, free society that we have. Listening to this podcast, you are in no danger. We are in no danger. And the American...
Our listeners.
The United
they
States...
They are in danger!
The United States
use
Constitution
a VPN.
Affords that. So, Tad... You
no,
know,
I was going to say that's a axe that swings both ways.
Right.
Because, obviously, after Trump won, it's Russia collusion. But if you... Department of Homeland Security actually intercepted voting machines trying to be hacked during the election.
Indiana and Georgia specifically.
So Donald Trump had a little bit of legitimacy to what he was saying, and I think he knew, and I think everybody tried. Yeah, I mean, it was like four or five states.
Well, then they were going to take the electoral system, voting systems, and move them under the Department of Homeland Security because of the worries
safety.
About security
then,
issues at a state
and who was run level. The who was running the department. But you also had the hanging Chad system in 2000. I mean, it's all shit's always being questioned, and Donald Trump will say whatever the hell he wants just to get votes because it feeds to his base. But I still come out and say Donald Trump still won, and it worked. The democracy is still there. Whether or not you want to accept that he...
Oh, I think the state of the American democracy is better off for Trump winning because it shows the collective will matters. I just don't know that... If there were ever going to be a wrench in the gear that could, you know, essentially fuck
shit
up,
to me, it also shows... It also shows that he's trying to... I absolutely believe that he's trying to do what he says he's trying to do. I don't see any other agenda...
To the extent a politician does or can.
And he can't get Obamacare passed when they have the entire... The House... What the hell is going on? I mean, it's...
Well, the House did their job.
The Senate, yeah. McCain, whatever. They don't want to repeal anything. It's... To me, it's...
You
got to
talk into that microphone.
The vested interests are so entrenched...
Absolutely.
That literally voting on what your party believes guarantees you lose representing your party. That's a pretty systemic... a level of... Really just a level of ownership by outside interest that's stunning.
To me, it's
where you can
be
a member of a party, and if you vote for the position your party has held, you will lose.
Right.
It's stunning.
I don't want to call it a deep state interest, but there's something there that's just...
I don't think healthcare is deep state. I think healthcare is so complex and difficult with so many competing interests.
Well, just repeal it, though.
It's trying to throw a Hail Mary, weave it behind the back, falling on your back leg out of bounds.
That's what they hide behind everything, though. It's so complicated that
but it's
the only government
interest.
Only the government can handle it.
No, it can't. It's just the interests are so complicated and complex. I mean, you got Planned Parenthood. You've got the medical device tax. You've got people who don't want grant research. Well, I mean, you're going to repeal it against the interests of the people who are your biggest donors for your PAC?
Absolutely. Well, or either that or get voted the fuck out. Like, that's your options.
They'll both get the folk voted out. If you vote against the people that elect you, your donors, your financial backers, they'll back someone else to get you out because they'll always look for who they can buy.
Okay. Well, then get them the fuck out of there. I mean, that's my opinion on it.
I mean, term limits would be a way of looking at it, but you'd really just have
The healthcare thing was set up. Beginning of the healthcare thing was set up to fail anyway. I mean,
people love to talk about term limits, but that just completely empowers the bureaucracy.
It means that you have a batter's box where someone waits and they're already corrupt.
Exactly right. So
yeah, you're always looking for the next prospect. It's like baseball or whatever.
Different face, same thing.
Right. Term limits just just give more
whiter
power
this time
to the deep state. So.
Better bow tie.
So, John, who is John Kelly, the chief of staff, that is stepping in to take Ryan Priebus's place?
At the end of the day, this is just a overcorrect. I mean, I can't remember how many stars does he have. Three? He's a 3-star general? Not that it matters, but
he looks like he doesn't mess around.
This guy's come in to right the ship. You know what happens if you have any kind of team sport or organizational chaos through too lax of rules and enforcement?
Right.
Where people have too much freedom. Way too much freedom in the Trump administration.
We are libertarians does not like too much freedom.
No. Fire up that freedom helicopter.
Around the old...
ordered liberty.
Around the old bunker here at the compound.
And so he's the natural overcorrection of bringing in a guy that has... consummate knowledge of systems, order of operations, discipline. It's going to work this way. There will be no equivocation on the line of command. And so he's the opposite Priebus, but he's not a consensus builder.
Yeah, he sounds like he's going to act out the orders of the commander-in-chief.
He's the law and order, you know, cabinet leader to an extent.
I think he's what Trump needed all along, to be honest with you.
He just wasn't... He wouldn't...
Tad, can you get the pizza, please?
Am I hairy?
You just ordered pizza?
Yeah.
That's impressive. I didn't even know that was going on.
We ate at noon, and we haven't eaten since. I don't know how you're not
starving. You didn't provide sustenance?
No, not yet. just sign my name. I've already paid for it.
I might be. I don't know.
You might be hungry.
No, I don't feel hungry. Just for flesh.
I'd find you.
I want to make sure before you drive back that you have sustenance.
Dear leader.
Kind of benevolent.
Well, I don't want her driving back, and it's an hour drive, and we haven't eaten all day, and I don't want her leaving
crashing,
hungry.
Yeah, blood level or sugar levels get
exactly
low and
right.
pass out.
So
while she's rapping to Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift only raps in
somebody
one song.
Order sausage
just set it there in the kitchen for me, please. We're
basically
about
yeah. Impulsive. I guess we really started out to do the good, the bad, and the ugly of Trump. The ugly is pretty self-explanatory.
His
right.
skin,
hair. That's it.
No,
Orange Lives Matter, Kat. Quit being racist.
If more like okay, when people like talk bad about Donald Trump, like, please use anything else but his skin color and his hair. Like,
right.
It's so hack.
Right.
It's been done.
It's been done.
Nobody likes
times.
Comedy that's, you know,
it's been done for 20
vintage.
Years.
Right. You know. I'm sure you know a lot about that. Ooh.
I don't know what you're implying. I've made a joke twice. The only joke here. That's been here twice is you.
I've been here more than twice.
Zing!
I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, because I've been here more than two times.
Damn, you got son.
No. Remember that time you had a witty comeback? I don't.
I always have.
Perhaps
witty
you'll
comebacks.
Find it on the drive back.
No. I always have witty comebacks.
Here lies the plaque of Kat getting rustled from last week. Speechless, red face, blushing, and shaking like a snowflake.
I have never blushed in my life.
You were beet red.
No, I was not.
Maybe not beet, blush.
A minute, what was it, minute 41?
41 to 40, minute 43 to 45. She was frantically trying to find it after the show, and she physically assaulted me with her autism putty. She literally, the camera in, she flings it, drills me on this cheek, and I'm like...
I was not Russell.
You dick. It's like when she, when I... It's like
I was like...
You
dear
know
leader,
you played softball professionally.
I was like, dear leader, are you all done recording? He's like, yep, I just hit end. And I was like, you monster.
I annoyed her earlier, and she took a giant metal wand and threw it at thousands of dollars of equipment.
And I do it again.
Too much freedom.
I'm loving the new cat, to be honest.
This is the real me. I've just been hiding it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because the volatility of Kat Anagnos, like, it's not a bad, like, Kat.
I was trying to people please, and now I'm not.
I'm glad.
Because I'm accepted by the four best friends.
She's a cat in heat and on the prowl, and she's just ready to tear up everything.
Kat is like, Kat, thou art woman, thou art loose. And, like, loosed.
I don't know what that
loosed.
Means.
It was a movie from back in the day.
Shakespeare's Day?
It's a remake of Macbeth.
Because...
with Samuel L. Jackson.
Kat gets annoyed and rolls her eyes and gets mad probably, I'd say, 20 times a day this week.
More? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's just... There's always some irritation. She's very... She and I are so much alike, it's scary. Like, I constantly am just getting irritated. I'm like, whatever.
My plan is working.
I'm not at you. I'm just saying in life in general, I just go, oh, fuck this motherfucker.
Fine. Fine.
Whatever.
It's fine.
Whatever.
Like that meme of where you throw the papers in the air. It's Friday. Right. Yeah. It's actually Thursday, and you have to go back and pick them all up.
it's just one of those things where, like, thing happens. I want to murder you. I want to cut you up.
This is worse than the Holocaust.
I want to feed you to your parents and chili. You know,
Scott Tenement
0 to 100 pretty quick. Huh?
And then she, like, just within not even 30 seconds is just like da 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 da. Let me scat cat for you. Like she. It's
did
so
someone
no,
say
no,
scat
no.
cat?
Yeah.
A 5, 6, 7, 8. Beep. Ba-da-ba,
I hate it.
Da-da-da-da.
I hate it.
This is my smooth jazz scat cat. Yeah. Alright.
You go ahead and cut that out.
You should walk down the middle of the Jersey Turnpike.
That's a good idea.
You should do the Jersey Turnpike.
No, but earlier on, Greg, I was implying that you have no original humor.
I don't.
Right.
Yeah. No. I don't at all.
Really?
It's all been done.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all been, yeah. It's all been
maybe, great art of steel.
Maybe later, Greg, on her Facebook wall, you should show her some original art.
Never forget.
Oh, Greg, what I meant was you're so
No.
I can make the private submission public.
Okay. I really don't remember.
You've got some roommates that I'm sure are big fans of artwork as well. I'd be happy to show them some of my character work.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to sharing memes with her roommates.
How you like me now, hon?
How you like me now?
See,
all of a sudden, that joke didn't sound so funny, did it?
Here's what I had to try to explain to her yesterday. I said, Kat, Greg and I don't have limits. Tad doesn't have limits. We have just decided to live this way, and we have never looked back. I'm probably more considerate of others' feelings than Greg when trolling.
Greg, I really have tried to be good about never engaging anyone. The only time I troll is if you engage me.
Right. Now,
Trump's
damn right.
I do it out of anger. Greg does it out of fun.
Love.
I do it out of love.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But you, my dear, you still have things to lose. Yesterday she goes, "You don't understand. I have more to lose than you do." I go, "No, you don't."
Laughs an intern.
Right,
laughs. No, I have more things to lose in the sense of...
like social networks. Like,
what, your car keys?
Right.
Yeah. I lost the day.
No. I get what you meant.
Not
because,
like a job. Like,
because over the last 2 years, I've kind of... everybody settled into me just being a shit poster, and you still have 20-year-old college girls that...
Right.
Right.
That you can throw into Velcro
It actually
walls.
Makes you more popular, because they're always going to be talking about
but
you.
But he's not wrong.
What?
Trust me. How do you think I get millions of listeners in Turkey?
Yeah.
I
shooting Russian ambassadors.
You're damn right. It goes, and then doing the Travolta pose.
You still don't share those photos. Don't do this. There's still limits. Greg has no limits.
They're saying I'd already been on the Instagram account.
Oh, thank you for listening to We Are Libertarian.
You started it. I was nothing but supportive and kind, mm-hmm. and you went there. I wasn't even going to bring up about how you were speechless and got so rustled you had to go, you know, talk to a counselor.
I did not talk to a counselor.
Oh, he hurt my feels.
It honestly,
I had the perfect comeback.
It was honestly
Stomp's feet.
The first time we've ever had the crisis. I mean, we have a crisis counselor after every episode. This is the first person to ever use it was Kat.
I know, they just sit on the couch bored.
I know, right. She was thought it was some huge thing. Hon, take a number.
Do you know how many women hate Greg Lynn?
Oh, I don't hate Greg.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh.
You're Greggy.
This is new.
Give him a hug.
A warm one.
The Greek armpit again.
Oh, my God. He's wearing light. Can you please keep your tzatziki sauce off of his shirt?
I just have...
He smells like garlic and cucumber.
People are going to ask me if I just got the axe lays.
You eat a pita pit?
Yeah. Why do you smell like tzatziki?
Because it's made
I went to dinner with Chloe last night. It's lingered.
Oh, yeah. You had dinner with Chloe. Oh,
very fun. Very fun time. Many, many, many. I always have a great time with Chloe and Agnos.
You got Greek two nights in a row.
Not Kyle Pierce, though.
I do. I love Kyle, too. I love Kyle. Like, they are so much. I really have a great time with them just hanging out. And we told so many stories that can never be repeated.
Ooh.
And now, it was hilarious.
How tucked in was Kyle's shirt?
He is very business casual. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
I just have never seen anybody tuck in a shirt that aggressively before.
It's not so much that's that.
Does he tuck it in, then iron it?
Yes.
That's when you know you're tucked. What, you never done that?
How? No. Why would you do that?
You?
Yeah.
Because
it's not flat.
You just use a steam. Well, it is if you got
to
add.
No,
well, okay.
I mean,
well, honest to God, I have put a shirt on and then ironed the bottom.
It's hard
swear
body.
To God. I've like held it out. Like
okay,
this.
But see, like that makes sense because you're not going to burn yourself. Like,
oh,
steamer,
gotcha. Yeah.
Dude, this I have my a fault. Steamer. The steamer is so hot. What are you talking about?
Nothing.
I'm a man.
Wee against the wall.
Oh, I had to say something that wasn't in the microphone. Greg and I have a war going on. It's fine.
Kat and I declared a truce.
We did.
Right.
Here's the thing. I think that wall is better together than divided. I think we all need to unite together against, you know, the atheist podcast.
I believe in separate but equal and coexisting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Final thoughts.
Free Palestine.
Let's wrap up. Greg,
I'm totally kidding. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
You didn't.
Don't ever.
Because Kat is
give
totally
me
OG.
A hand hug. Wait.
Greg has
hug.
Huge hands.
I'm giving a hand. Now you have to hug me with your thumb.
Oh my God.
Hand hug.
This is great.
Greg and I just
winning.
Did a hand hug.
This is insane.
He was sweaty.
Yes. I'm nervous because you keep hugging me and I have a thing about being touched.
Right. Sorry.
Methodism.
I don't like to be handed things.
Meanwhile, Tad has just been brushing himself like a horse the entire freaking podcast. I'm honestly a little freaked.
There's a little red in that beard.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking pirate. That's all the Captain Morgan I've drank over the years. It's coming out my beard.
That's interesting. You're very Italian, so that's not normal.
I've got gray hair.
I feel like
too.
You might be a mutt.
I'm stressed out.
All right.
Ranch sales are down.
Greg, final thoughts?
I mean, really, this was going to be an assessment. At the end of the day... For Trump, it's impossible to talk about him in the aggregate. You have to break it down, and there are elements we love that are from an entertainment aspect that we shouldn't. What is going on?
We're just reading the comments.
Let me see.
Somebody said, "Is it called a Cleveland steamer?"
What yeah, is what?
He,
you're welcome.
Tad's iron is called the Cleveland steamer.
Oh God,
very funny.
That explains the stains.
I explained to her what a Coney dog was the other day.
Chili
dog.
I know what a chili. Oh.
The chili
that
dog.
Context specific.
Chile.
I've eaten those before.
I hate chili dogs.
Very progressive.
Have you ever played the rusty trombone?
That sounds awful.
Do you know what it is?
I don't want to know. Anyways, right. Greg, final thoughts.
No,
come here. I'm going to whisper it in your ear.
No.
No, come here.
That was the most repulsive thing I've ever heard.
Have you ever heard the song Poo Poo Train by Ville Station?
No. Anyways, Greg, final thoughts.
She has no appreciation for
she
the,
is fine
the
arts. Arts.
He was in an R&B boy group in the late or the early aughts.
I'm not gonna lie. Can I use the brush?
Oh my god!
I kind of.
What are you gonna brush with it?
I got a little beard.
His butthole hair.
Keep it off.
No, that's braided like Serena Williams.
Dude, this is the most. It's the most relaxing thing of all time.
It honestly looks.
It's for a baby, dude.
Can I actually use it real quick?
For your.
As long as you don't pee on it.
Oh, I had to mark it somehow. All
right, I might put it on eBay then.
Honestly, I'm getting
Mr.
One of these.
Kelly, hit me up.
Isn't that so?
It feels so
I'm
good.
I'm telling you, you'll see, be able to buy those on my website.
If you buy a baby brush, you're creepy. Dad buys it, he's like borderline creepy.
That's right. How you get on a website with
the
a
creepiest thing
search addresses.
The creepiest thing was
just do it right here on your cheek.
The creepiest thing was checking out because all I had was
here.
Beer, diapers, and that because I was
Doesn't
going to a diaper party.
Dude, they're so expensive.
Fuck yeah, they are. I'm never having kids. Abortions
That's
are way cheaper than that.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I know.
It is.
Honestly, get you a baby brush and start brushing your beard. You're
Everybody thinks
brushing
I'm
babies.
Crazy.
And when you buy it at the checkout, they're like, oh, is this for your child? And say, no, but I love kids.
Well, I haven't acquired them
no,
yet.
No, it's not my child.
It's not my child.
You know one?
Tad's a trendsetter. That's
the only thing standing between me and pizza is you motherfuckers. All right, final thoughts. Greg.
Nope. Good show, Kat. Thanks for joining. You've been a wonderful contribution. You've made it more entertaining.
We're going to miss you.
I've already said this before, as you pointed out, so that surely isn't new to hear. But yeah, look forward to... I know it's probably going to be more intermittent, but come back when you can.
Oh, man. You should have said Itter Kenton.
And always great to have the legend.
Tad Western.
And I'm pissed I didn't get a premium toothpick.
Honestly. I've got them in my car. I apologize. I want to thank everybody for having me on. I mean,
yeah.
This is great.
We got the Tad bump.
It was honestly great to do a duet scat with Kat.
Yeah.
In the hat.
That was great.
It's the best way to play scat is in a duet.
Doop, 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 doop.
Tad scat.
Yeah,
tad
it's the old Tad scat.
Oh my gosh.
Scat Tad.
Scat Tad, scat cat.
Tatteroo.
No, this...
Tickety, tickety talk.
I've actually prepared something for everyone.
Oh, boy.
Hold on, I wasn't done.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Anyway.
Tad. Yeah.
I it's been a while since I've been here.
Is there another cruise on the horizon? Another Tad cruise?
Well, not in the sense of going out hunting for gay men, but maybe in the ocean. Yeah, we'll go.
Well, according
we'll
to
go
Spangle's
cruising.
Facebook, half.
Yeah,
of
I know.
Ready.
I know. He's been giving me the eyes.
But
all
where
night.
Do you sit?
It's just the beard is so luscious and so well.
Don't you just want to sit on it? I know all the listeners do.
I wouldn't go.
Did you just
far.
Call him a beard?
No. Anyway, I listen.
Hop on the Tad train, Kat. Come on.
Come on. Come on, ride the train. The Tad
Quad City
train.
DJs.
So anyways,
come
I just really wanted to say that.
Come on, y'all don't do the train?
Quad City DJs, man. Rec night, 8th grade.
Tad Talk back again.
Do you do any jock jams?
Oh, yeah. Jock jams. That's what I listen to jock jams like 1995. Before I do every podcast. That's why my Tad Talks are so
Ladies
high.
Ladies and gentlemen, at 6'1" from Martinsville, Indiana.
Old Gary Glitter with his baby brush over there.
On his horse, Liberty, and falling behind him real close is Justin. Tad! Hanging Chad Wester.
You know, weirdly, anyway. Tad reminds me of myself.
Oh, yes.
I think that's why we're destined, my friend.
Deeply emotionally disturbed.
We're holding hands.
Oh, you feel that energy, baby?
Yeah.
Right in front of Greg's face.
You just got the Tad bump.
Kat, final thoughts?
Yes.
How often will you be joining us now that you're going back to school?
No, I'm going to try and make it every single week. I already do know the week of sorority recruitment will not be able to be on.
They use you, huh?
What?
Why don't you come on to do brand ambassadoring?
You will not be joining us next week.
No, I'm on vacation next week, and then...
We will have the entire cast of the Boss Hog of Liberty.
Yes.
They will be joining us.
I wish I could be...
You thinking about it?
How many people?
It'll be Jer and Dakota.
Two man.
My son.
I might have to make an appearance for that, yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, I won't be able to be on, I don't think, the week of, like, the first...
The Bittner week.
Third week of August, I think, and, like, the probably the first week of September.
Make notes, people.
Yeah, McNose. Those will be the best episodes.
But I think that people are happy to hear that you're going to be coming down and you're going to be committed. Yeah. So,
well, I just wanted to say thank you, brothers, for taking me under your wing, Tad over there, your large wing. No, this has been a lot of fun. I've never had any experience with like audio or video or anything like that, and just being able to like do the podcast, not just for comedy stuff, but slowly but surely, like starting to understand and like learning all about the like political side, just asking questions. Super interesting. I'm gonna go back to school and be so woke.
You're gonna be dropping truth bombs like Alex Jones
so
in
many.
A pool.
Oh yeah, no.
No one will be comfortable on that campus,
right?
And I just, you know, being protective of Kat and Greg as well. Please stop sliding in the DMs. Just post it on her wall so everybody can see what you're up to. You creeps.
Oh no, no. But also, just thank you. I've gotten so much support from like listeners and viewers. It's ridiculous. Like, you would think people would, you know, say, "Die, slut, you're unfunny." Which, you, if you
my
think
messages,
that, please
you haven't
me.
Been getting my messages? No.
Did I write that twice?
you like, finish what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying, like, the amount of support, like, just private Facebook messages, just saying, you know, loved you on the show, like, I hope you're still going. Like, that's awesome. And that just, you know, the hour drive down here is not that hard. I mean, it's an hour, but just feeling like people want like feeling like people want me to be keep coming on, even though I'm just a 20-year-old college student. Very incredible. So thank you. And I have a few dates I won't be on, so those will be the best dates. But of course, we're the three best friends. We're the three best friends.
So yeah, I mean, she's making a commitment to be here, and you know, just like I said earlier, the thing that keeps us motivated, Greg and I, to keep doing this, to keep spending 10 to 20 hours a week or more to do this, is the feedback that you guys get. So if you think Kat's been great on the show, tweet at her, Instagram her, Snapchat her, Facebook her, just hit her up and just give her a word of encouragement, because we'd love to keep Kat around. And
see her at Ball State, come up behind her and lick her neck and tell her how funny she is.
Yeah, just blow on her ear. She loves
oh,
that.
Oh, great.
You're so funny.
And if you think I'm terrible, please tell me.
Yes, now you...
And thank you, boys, for taking me under your wing.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, your hands are community service, so.
I'm a vampire.
My God, you have the coldest hands.
Spangle just wants to hold my hand.
Kat, you honestly, do you feel better about Tad? You honestly hated Tad.
Oh, yeah, so I
hated... Wait a minute, you hated me?
You said I had flabby arms one time.
When was that? The convention?
Was that the
CopCon convention picture?
I told you that she and I are so much alike.
Absolutely. You both have flabby arms. What's wrong with that?
No, just the fact that, like, one comment on social media 8 weeks ago.
Hope he gets Holocaust.
Listen, what? That person said I was slightly overweight. I don't want to say that I want them to get cancer. I just want it to be in the brain and dead.
Right.
And deadly.
Right.
Yeah, you take that back by John McCain.
No, I had, you know, it all started the first episode I came on. He was wearing your Tad Western shirt, and I called him out for it.
About what?
Well, he
how
was trying to
of a shirt
no
was?
No. He was trying to give me like fashion advice, and I said, "You're wearing a t-shirt with an emoji on it." And he was like, "This is Tad." Whatever. That's when the whole beef started. And then, you know, at the first wall party, you said hello to me.
Hello.
Right, just like that.
Hello.
And then, you know, then the third time I knew you, you just said I had flabby arms, and so I was like,
"Wait a minute!" Oh.
And you also are PopCon. You're kind of a dick.
When was I ever at PopCon?
You saw the picture Spangle put of her standing in the empty auditorium.
Yeah, and I'm very muscular for a woman.
Trust me, she told me all about it before we started trivia.
I must
trivia.
Have been really shit-faced that night, because I have no regulation.
Really? Oh,
that's
sure
the thing about Tad. No, Tad does this.
You don't realize.
You should see what he posts to troll people in, like, groups late at night.
It's 85% insane. Of my life, I've been blackout drunk.
He's a walking hate crime. Okay.
So, you know, just those three experiences.
You know what, though? I can tell you've been working out a little bit.
Yeah, ever since your
flabby.
Comments, they
yeah,
kept
she's been doing push-ups.
See, it's motivation through shaming.
That's
we
true.
Need more shaming people.
That's how I've turned in. That's how my dad turned me into the man I am today.
I know. Just, you look know. At you. You got a podcast, and you got pizza
got
that's getting cold in there.
No, but Tad, I am a fan.
Well,
I'm
thank
actually
you.
A fan.
Well, download the podcast and then
become a Tadict.
What sorority are you in?
I will tell you off air.
Oh. Oh, come on. Just have
Kappa,
them all
Kappa,
at me.
Kappa, right?
AOPI.
I do private shows really cheap.
Oh,
like, I'll come and I'll do a Tad Talk live from the Delta Zeta house or wherever. Easy doozy.
Aww,
so, yes, they're please. Nice people.
At Kat Anagnos on everything.
Yes, please. Give me attention.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians.
Yes.
What?
I'm being kind of benevolent, allowing her to do what I would usually do.
No, never mind. We have a new closing.
Sorry for assuming your closing.
Keep them holstered, unless you're ready for a shootout.
Dear Leader is also, not only is he a generous and thorough provider of many things, food.
Love.
Love. Sex. Beef.
Spade kitties.
Yeah. Podcasts.
I've graduated my internship. I've received an A+, and now I got my own ending remark.
And I'm also a mediator. Okay. Yes. And both Kat and Greg are both very important to me. Greg, more important, but still, Kat is very much important to me.
Trust me, she's more concerned, you know, with her self-confidence. Go ahead and tell her she's important.
Oh. She needs to.
I'll be fine.
Oh. Greg is gonna get it when the show is over.
God damn, that was a direct hit.
Suck my battle, Kat.
That was mean.
That was a fucking sniper shot right to the self-esteem.
Two scoops, two shots. Oh,
you are going to get
it. Do you like a third gender?
I'm a mediator, and Kat just, you know, Kat's been a good influence on me, and I hate it. She's made me soften on Bittner. He's coming on August 17th. She's
because he's a nice man, and I told Spangle to be nice to him.
Listen, we are trying to make each other better Christians. We're accountability buddies. Mm-hmm.
This is our second chance to infect him with the diabetes.
And, you know, so when she looks at me with those cartoon eyes and says, "May I have my own closing, too?"
I can't
but help give my little buddy her own closing.
Thank you.
So I'll tell you when. And then we'll do the regular normal closing after that.
No. Seriously. Let her have
No.
Seriously.
No, this is how it's going to work, Greg.
Well, you've got it worked out.
No one's listening. Got a whole thing. Anyway.
Exactly.
Everybody stick to your roles. Okay. Stay in line.
Shut your mouth.
This
and
is
know
it.
Your
this
role.
Is show night.
Thank
family
you.
Family provider. Masculine.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of We Are Libertarians. Just to reiterate, we thank you all so much for joining us. You guys are so great to us. If you could just make a cash donation, that would really help me get some software that I need to finalize some paperwork, some legal stuff, some software that we need to buy so I can finish out a couple things. Just as generously as you guys have helped us finish out our equipment. Big things planned at We Are Libertarians. People that I'm going to hire. Not any of these people, but actual professionals to help do a few things. So again, your donations at PayPal or Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com are so helpful to us, and we appreciate you so much. So thank you for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians.
Beep bop diddly doo.
And as always, we promise.
I'm literally
keep them holstered unless you're ready for a shootout.
Please.
No. As always, we promise.
Greg, stop it.
I'm being a gentleman.
To do better next time.
No. That's not how this is supposed to work. Dear Leader is unhappy.
Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it right. Redo, remix, do your soft clothes, and then I'll do the hard clothes.
Sorry, I cracked myself up.
Dear Leader is not happy. Points at table. I didn't know if you meant at us or that literal spot on the table.
No, he's pressing his nuke button over there. He's like,
I literally took my index finger pointed down like I was pushing a button and said, Dear Leader is poke not happy.
It was the hand beam in real life.
And Greg immediately knew I was serious and Kat lost her shit. So, thank you for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.